Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday, August 8th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room. The fastest 3 hours on the internet starts now. I got a ton of news on my desk. I got 35 video clips, but who knows what's going to happen, you know? Who knows what could happen in the next 3 hours at this point? But that's the plan. Now, I've got a lot of the news on my desk from yesterday. I got a lot of breaking news from today. We're going to come back and cover the latest Project Veritas story, where I don't think anybody would be surprised if Bill Barr was involved in some sort of a get Trump legal maneuver. I would be careful in this story, even though she's addressed some of the allegations about her past, I would be careful to be sure that we aren't being fed a real story only to be discredited by the messenger. But we will play the full Project Veritas video. I'll get to some other big political developments here. I got big economic news as well. And it is a Friday, so we might even loosen up a little bit and have some fun. But first, this is Marjorie Taylor Greene last night on with Matt Gaetz, who is quickly becoming much more popular as far as his talk show on OAN is concerned. This is the future of American politics from Marjorie Taylor Greene, whether you like it or not.
Go ahead and be straight and honest about this. I'm absolutely furious. And as a matter of fact, AIPAC needs to register as a foreign lobbyist because they're breaking U.S. laws by donating to members of Congress and by taking them on a fully funded trip to Israel every single freshman member of Congress's year. They just took them over just recently and had them meet with the Prime Minister of Israel. But let's frame that correctly. They take them over to meet with the secular government of nuclear-armed Israel. Israel, who is in less than $400 billion in debt. Israel, who has taxpayer-funded health care and college. Israel is not hurting, and they've already proven that they are more than capable of not only defending themselves, but annihilating their enemies to the point of genocide. And that's what's happening in Gaza. And Matt, the reason why AIPAC is attacking me is because I dared to tell the truth. Well, Matt, you and I are good friends. We served together in Congress, and you know that I have taken zero money from AIPAC. As a matter of fact, I am so unapologetically American, I have a sign on the door of my office that tells all lobbyists, foreign lobbyists, to stay out of my office and that they have to follow the law. They have to follow the law and register as a foreign lobbyist and be clear about what country they represent. Because I represent America. As a matter of fact, I've been saying America first for a long time, but I'm getting to the point of saying America only. And I'll tell you why, Matt. It's because pretty much if you're under the age of 40, you have no hope for the future. We're $37 trillion in debt. People can't afford to buy a house. They can't afford rent. They can't afford insurance. They can't afford their bills. And we have HB1 visas stealing all these American jobs. And I'm sick and tired and fed up with it. So if AIPAC, who donates, by the way, to more Democrats than Republicans, as a matter of fact, they're all for Democrats, but they do donate to Republicans as well. But listen, if AIPAC wants to come after me and accuse me of betraying my American values, AIPAC, you know what? You can bring it on. I am totally ready for this, and this is a fight that I will fight, and I will give it my all. And I can guarantee you, you're going to lose because America is fed up, Matt. They're fed up to hear with funding foreign wars, funding foreign causes, funding foreign countries for foreign reasons that have nothing to do with Americans, while Americans work their ass off every day and pay their taxes and come home and they're living paycheck to paycheck and their credit cards are maxed out. I don't care anymore. I honestly don't care. So I'll burn this bridge to the ground and I will let the flames light the way, and because this is a fight that needs to happen.
Can you disagree with anything she just said? What would you disagree with?
Alex Jones has good genes. In fact, there's only one thing better than Alex's genes. Alex's genes on Methylene Blue. Just look at those pecs. That charm. The focus. Get your Methylene Blue now at thealexjonesstore.com and make good genes great again.
For a limited time, you can get this limited edition Murdered Out InfoWars shirt at thealexshowstore.com with the American flag on the shoulder. It's historic, and it funds the operation. We've got other cool shirts that just came in as well. The new Liberty Bell 1776 Declaration of Independence shirt is out. It's limited edition, and it's got my signature on the back. That really triggers lip tarts. And then there's this limited edition. I weaponized the American people. It was actually you weaponized them, and we're winning. Get it all now at thealexshowstore.com. Thanks for your support.
Pretty crazy out there. But at least we have South Park to guide the way. And I think it's funny to watch different people responding to it now. It's like you can tell who grew up watching South Park and you can tell who's just now watching it for the first time. No, this is what South Park normally does, and they're trying to act like, oh, no, they're liberals, they're Democrat activists. I mean, they might hang out with Democrats, but actually they've been making fun of Democrats for years as well. But that's neither here nor there in 27 seasons after the recent episode that originally had Kristi Noem a little upset, but now she seems to be accepting the humor of it. She's changed her Facebook or X profile about it, and now ICE keeps using South Park as a recruitment, a marketing strategy. So can always rely on those guys over at South Park for a good laugh, right? It's actually bringing us all together in a strange way. Speaking of strange, I almost still don't believe it because it looks fake, but the Telegraph has confirmed it. They claim they've confirmed it. The last known photo of Jeffrey Epstein before his demise, allegedly, is he alive? Is he dead? Suicide? Whatever. But apparently they've now confirmed it. They've published it. I thought it was fake. I mean, it still looks fake to me. No, they're saying confirmed the last known photo of Jeffrey Epstein alive, and he's wearing an IDF sweatshirt. I'm sure it was given to him by a Qatari. I'm sure that's what they'll say. No, that's a Qatar shirt. It's an IDF shirt. It's just crazy. Now, who is the man that introduced Jeffrey Epstein to the world of the elites? Who is it that took Jeffrey Epstein from an unknown into a prestigious university and then eventually rubbing elbow with the elites and becoming the quote-unquote financier of the richest people in the world? Well, that man was Bill Barr's father, Donald Barr. Yeah, Bill Barr, former attorney general under President Trump's father, Donald Barr, introduced Jeffrey Epstein into the world of the elites. Now, you have this Project Veritas report. We're going to air the whole thing right now, where you have this whistleblower claiming that Fannie Willis worked with Barr in a case against Donald Trump. In the RICO case that Fannie Willis was handling, apparently former Attorney General Barr was involved in this. Now, I wouldn't doubt it if that was true, given Bill Barr's history. And maybe you could even say lack of action when he was acting attorney general under President Trump, his father's relations to Epstein. I wouldn't put that past him, but I also wouldn't put it past intelligence agencies or the deep state to deliver a message with a discredited source so that now you're disputing the actual story because you're not sure if you can trust the source. So it appears that that's what's going on, in my view, with this story. But here is the latest from Project Veritas.
It's very easy to know why I am being persecuted and no one else is being charged or persecuted. It's very easy. I called the FBI to report Bill Barr and Armstrong Williams. I have notes of every single meeting. One meeting can be about visa for someone, or another meeting can be about January 6th or RICO case. I have a quote here that was like, Barr believes the FBI will go to Trump House soon. And one thing that I heard a lot is like how they go to prevent America to have Trump again. One thing that I learned very fast and very in the beginning is like, Bill Barr is someone extremely important. And I remember the, like, the biggest conversation they had at that point, it is like, what kind of charge that we can bring against Trump? And that's when Bill Barr, and I will never forget that, Bill Barr was like, we should bring RICO because it's a very difficult type of charge to defend. Armstrong has this powerful friends. He's friends with like Bill Barr. He's friends with Ben Carson. He's friend with the mayor of DC. And he has like all this list of powerful people and people like with a lot of money. I know they do some business together. All the time Armstrong needs something, he calls Bill Barr. Like can be, for example, approve a visa for someone, he calls Bill Barr. Or for example, do some kind of lobbying with, for example, Turkish Airlines. He calls Bill Barr. Bill Barr is like the person that we call to resolve any kind of problems or situations. I have notes of every single meeting. One meeting can be about visa for someone, or another meeting can be about January 6th or RICO case. In February 27 of 2023, here's my notes, they launched this meeting about RICO case. I do not know if they have meetings before about that. That was the first time that I heard and I learned about that. So they bring that case against Trump. And I remember the, like the biggest conversation they had at that point, it is like, what kind of charge that we can bring against Trump? And they discussed like few charges under American law. And that's when Bill Barr, and I will never forget that, Bill Barr was like, we should bring RICO because it's a very difficult type of charge to defend. Bill Barr was like very focused and bring the RICO case because he explained to Fannie Willis, the RICO charge is one of the most hard to defend in court because under the American law, the RICO charge can be anything. Like it's not very specific. So people who is charged with RICO case, they have a very hard time to defend themselves. We had this meeting with Fannie Willis. At that point, I didn't have idea, about her. What she work with. I just don't know her. And she presented herself as like someone who's close to Armstrong, someone who's attorney. And all the time I was like, okay, it's just like one more meeting that we had. And then in these meetings, that's when I started to take notes and like try to keep everything that to prove that what's going on. One thing that I understood very well is like Bill Barr and Armstrong and all the politicians too, they're very focused like in how they go to stop Trump. And one thing that I heard a lot is like how they go to prevent America to have Trump again. So in my views of politics, what I think it is, they probably realized very soon that if Trump runs again, he probably will win the election as he did. So in that point, they just want to like prevent that. One of these meetings, for example, was launched in March 15 of 2022. And this meeting was at Sinclair Broadcast. And this meeting was when I like started to learn more about Fannie Willis and about some guy called Jack Smith and about investigation involving January 6th. I have a quote here that was like, Barr believes the FBI will raise, and I put it in parentheses, go to Trump House soon. That's when was like, I start to learn and to be sure about what they're doing was like they're planning and they're create crimes and situations to go after everyone. In that meeting, we also spoke about the meeting that we had with Facebook. And the person in Facebook was helping us and giving us direction to create content against Trump and against the January 6th was called Daniele. That was like one of the first meetings that I had about this plan they had to go after everyone who works or support Trump. And that was back in September 13 of 2021. So in this meeting was me, Armstrong, Shermichael, and Bill Barr by phone. And they spoke about January 6th committee. They authorized the committee to investigate the events about January 6th. We started like with some names. They also gave a lot of names here. We have like Michael Flynn, Steve Bannon, Rudy Giuliani, Jeffrey Clark, Oath Keepers, Proud Boy People, Proud Boy Group, Scott Paris, Jim Jordan,
Alex Jones on the list, InfoWars on the list.
They steal. Brad, again, Hafez Bergin, Seamus, Ruby Freeman, Patrice Poloni, Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, and we have some target people, which is like the people they want to target more. And that was like Stuart Rhodes and Enrique Tarrio and Roger Stone. And here I have a quote. It was like Barr and Cheney once Fox at Roger Stone, Rhodes and Tarrio and Bannon. And also in Kimberly Guilford, who is close to Trump. Armstrong goes on TV or he goes on social media or he goes over his Twitter account or X account. And he claims he's Republican. He's this person who is like extremely patriotic, he loved his country and everything. But at the same time, he was lunch meetings with Bill Barr to plan against Trump and against people involved in January 6th. Armstrong never got caught for thing that he does. He was inside of the Capitol Hill in January 6th. And then I start to understand he's never caught for that because he's friend with the mayor of D.C. He was friend with the chief of police of D.C. I'm talking about people who went to jail. And these people, they have families, they have lives. Some people with like with cancer. I know a case like with cancer. The person got arrested and went to jail because of January 6th. But at the same time, those people are there because people like Armstrong was telling them to be there. Was telling them like, no, it's completely fine if you be here. And when the things start to happen over there, Armstrong is like, no, we can go inside and let you do this. So what kind of person does that with people?
So there you go. I expect there will be more to come out from that. And by the way, I'm already getting a bunch of incoming on this right now, and I'm trying to get a better idea of what we're actually seeing broken down here, because I think there's more than meets the eye with this story. But it sounds like there at the end of it that there was some level of an interpretation of a setup or even an intention of a setup. Which, and I don't want to go into this longer story here because Trump is about to go live, which also we were a little suspicious of at how on January 6th, they basically tried to get us, the Secret Service tried to get Alex out of the Ellipse and start to lead the crowd to the Capitol. And they probably just didn't really anticipate what that was going to entail. And they thought, oh, we can just grab Alex, tell him to lead people to the Capitol and set him up. But we had a pretty decent sized crew
at least 10 people, maybe more. And so you got to corral the people. And it was a long day. And so, okay, people need to use the bathroom. And then Alex and I, it's not like we ever disagree, right? Alex and I kind of had a little disagreement at the time of should we go march now or should we wait? So we were kind of sitting there bantering, well, should we go now? Should we wait? And I wanted to, I didn't want to go at all until Trump finished. And he was like, no, let's go now. Let's go now. And then we kind of decided, well, actually, let's just go over there for a second and corral people. And this is some of the footage from earlier that day with Alex on a bullhorn and me standing there that they tried to use against me in court, just speaking, not even at the Capitol. So it's like we kind of sit back on that and say, well, were they trying to set us up? Were they trying to have us get there while the thing was being breached and then claim it was us? But because it took us like an hour to get from point A to point B or longer, it didn't work out that way. So it's interesting to hear her say that at the end. But I'm trying to get more intel on this. Now, in the meantime, Trump has foreign diplomats at the White House, leaders of Azerbaijan and other countries. He's going live right now. Let's take it.
It's a great honor. Thank you. It's a long time, 35 years. They fought, and now they're friends, and they're going to be friends for a long time. But it's a big, beautiful honor to welcome everyone to the White House for this very historic peace summit between Armenia and Azerbaijan. It's really a great thrill for me. I love seeing good people get together, and that's what you have. You have two great leaders. I want to congratulate these two visionary people, Prime Minister Pashinyan and President Aliyev, for coming to Washington to sign this momentous joint declaration. It's a tremendously important document, and it's been a long time in coming. They were explaining before that so many times they thought they could get there. It never happened. It just never happened. I also want to thank Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, and their teams at the State Department. And I see that we have Chris Wright outside and Senator Steve Daines sitting right here. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. And Steve, thank you very much. And we have some other wonderful dignitaries, including the dignitaries from your country. But they provided tremendous diplomatic assistance. And Marco, congratulations. It's a big thing. Keep going. You got many jobs. And then, of course, you would say Steve was quite influential. I call him Henry Kissinger, who doesn't leak. For more than 35 years, Armenia and Azerbaijan have fought a bitter conflict that resulted in tremendous suffering for both nations. They suffered gravely for so many years. Many tried to find a resolution, including the European Union. The Russians worked very hard on it. Never happened. Sleepy Joe Biden tried, but you know what happened there. He tried for probably 12 minutes and didn't work out. And many other countries tried, and they were unsuccessful. But with this accord, we've finally succeeded in making peace, and we just left the Oval Office where we signed voluminous documents and very important elements to the agreement. The country of Armenia and Azerbaijan are committing to stop all fighting forever, open up commerce, travel, and diplomatic relations, and respect each other's sovereignty and territorial integrity, so importantly. And I just spent a lot of time with these two men. I think they're going to have a great relationship. You want to know the truth? They didn't see each other that much, but they probably will. I think they're going to have, I think you two are going to have a great relationship. I have no doubt. And if you don't, call me and I'll straighten it out. Okay. Very importantly, we have also resolved the key issue that foiled previous negotiations. This declaration establishes what they are calling a great honor for me. I didn't ask for this. The Trump Route for International Peace and Prosperity, which is a special transit area that will allow Azerbaijan to get full access to its territory of Nakhchivan while fully respecting Armenia's sovereignty. So they're going to be able to really live and work together, and it's amazing. So this is a very important territory, I guess, very special territory to you and to you. And now they work it together. Armenia is also creating an exclusive partnership with the United States to develop this corridor, which could extend for up to 99 years. And then they promise in 99 years they'll extend it, right? You'll promise. But we anticipate significant infrastructure development by American companies. They're very anxious to go in to these two countries, and they're going to spend a lot of money, which will economically benefit all three of our nations. This is incredibly positive news for the future of the entire region, and it's a very important region, as you know. Additionally, the U.S. is signing a bilateral agreement with both countries to expand cooperation in energy, trade, and technology, including AI, and in terms of energy. Chris is here representing our country, and there's nobody better than Chris Wright. And Chris, I understand it's very fertile. It's a very fertile area. So I appreciate everything you've done. You've done amazingly well. We've got the gasoline prices coming way down from where they were. And it's really been something to watch. We are drilling like we haven't drilled in many years. I guess I could say ever before, and we just started. We're also lifting restrictions on defense cooperation between Azerbaijan and the United States of America. The president, that's a big deal. Unless, is that important to you? I think so. That was pretty good. That's, they're very happy about that. So am I. As president, my highest aspiration is to bring peace and stability to the world. Today's signing follows our success with India and Pakistan. They were going at it. They were going at it big, and they were great, two great leaders that came together just prior to what would have been a tremendous conflict, as you know, a nuclear conflict probably. Also, the Congo and Rwanda. Now, that was one which was going on for 31 years. You have them beat. 35 years you had them beat. But that was going on for 31 years, and we have it all done, and people are very happy. That was a rough one. That was nasty. Seven million people that they know of died. Also, just recently, Thailand and Cambodia, that was one that was just starting. The 2,000 people were dead on the border, but it was just starting. And I was talking to one of the two nations on trade, and I said, I'm not going to sign a trade deal if you guys are going to fight. And I got the other one. And again, great leadership, Thailand and Cambodia. And before it got started beyond that first couple of days, we stopped the war. And they've had wars periodically, for much as you two have had long-term wars. And we got it stopped. And the two, again, I find in all cases, they're great leaders. If they didn't agree, I would say they're lousy leaders, to be honest with you. But they did agree. And so Thailand and Cambodia, Serbia and Kosovo, we got something stopped that was ready to start. We didn't like that one. We didn't like it at all. And we got saved a lot of lives. And numerous others.
President Trump from the White House. We may pick this up on the other side. We may move on to other news. Who knows? You'll have to stay tuned to find out. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got methyl drive here, and we've also got power plant. Now, both of them at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? Just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all of that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Cover more of that story with somebody who's got some other information coming up at 4:30 and can make a little bit more sense of it for us. That's going to be in an hour. We do have this breaking news right now. Trump appoints Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent as acting IRS commissioner. Well, I guess that means our hopes and dreams of the IRS getting shut down are probably waning at this point, maybe slim to none. And I think Slim has opened the door and is about to take a step out. You know, Billy Long, who is going to be replaced with Bessent and apparently going to be getting an ambassadorship, which is kind of where they put you when they want you out, in case you haven't noticed. The ambassadorships is like, you know, it's an award for friends. It's the cushiest job you can get in politics. It's an award for friends to go be an ambassador to, you know, a nice, beautiful country. Or it's like, hey, we don't want you in D.C. anymore. So, but we don't want to make it look bad. So go be an ambassador on the other side of the planet. Like, I don't know if there was some Trump ex-girlfriend they wanted to, you know, get out of the way. So. Billy Long wanted to shut down the IRS. Billy Long had talked about shutting down the IRS. Former Republican representative from Missouri. I've not heard such a thing from Bessent. Now, I don't really see Bessent as some aggravator against the American people, like the way we envision the IRS, but I also don't see Besant with aims of shutting it down either. If anything, I would say this is a strategic move for Trump to use Besant, who has direct knowledge of the tariffs, to find a way to weave it all in so that a lot of this tax revenue that normally the IRS is responsible for producing, they can find a way to use the tariffs now to replace it and then hopefully fund our government with tariffs instead of taxing the U.S. people. So that could take some time, but I think to me that means the IRS isn't going anywhere, is kind of how I read that. Meanwhile, this is good news. Pam Bondi names special prosecutor to probe Schiff and Letitia James fraud allegations. And the special prosecutor is one of the best that we can get, and that is Ed Martin. Ed Martin. If you're going to bet on anybody, Ed Martin is a pretty safe bet. Now, again, this is still D.C., and so we see how the swamp operates. But Ed Martin is truly a great patriot. DOJ opens grand jury investigation into Letitia James tied to Trump's civil case. So some things are being made here, but it's kind of like until the Cubs win the World Series, they still have never won the World Series. They're still got the Billy Goat curse. So you kind of feel like we're still in the Billy Goat curse phase of this. But, you never know. One time is all it takes to break the curse. One time. So a lot of stuff hanging out there. What else do we have here? Speaking of the tariffs, U.S. collects $29 billion in tariff revenues in July, setting a new monthly record. Trump's tariffs are bringing in tens of billions of dollars a month. What's the government doing with all that money? Well, hopefully they're paying to run the government, which is way too expensive, by the way, way out of control. That's why they tax us so much money, so they can fund all these foreign countries and foreign wars and everything else. Foreign aid, which we're sick of all of it. And yeah, you saw some of the graphs that Trump was showing off yesterday dealing with this stuff. So there's no doubt it's been a success. Here's one success story. Where would you rather get your shrimp from? Do you like shrimp? Pretty popular, right? Shrimp. A lot of people eat shrimp. Would you rather get your shrimp from India or would you rather get your shrimp from Louisiana? Listen to one shrimper in Louisiana talking about this in clip 27.
Dewey Palos has spent more than 40 years making a living on his boat. He's a shrimper from South Plaquemines Parish. It's a title, he says, fewer people want to have nowadays.
This boat harbor used to be full of boats. All them slips over there used to be full of boats. Now you don't see it.
Palos says there's a long list of reasons why Louisiana's shrimping industry has been drying up. At the top of that list is the explosion of exported shrimp coming from outside the U.S., It's why he and other local shrimpers are applauding President Trump's 25% tariff on goods from India, including its cheaper farm-raised shrimp, which Palos says kills competition.
Without them putting tariffs on us and trying to get a cap on it to slow them down, I don't know how we're going to make it. I mean, it's just they just low prices and they just keep pushing us.
Over the years, India has emerged as one of the largest exporters of shrimp in the world. For Louisiana shrimpers like Palos, these 25% tariffs are a way to level the playing field.
We're really hoping that everything that's happening right now will give us some tailwinds and hopefully we can start rebuilding our industry.
Craig Reeves is with the Southern Shrimp Alliance, which represents shrimpers from Texas to North Carolina. He says Americans can help by demanding domestic seafood at their grocery stores and restaurants.
If they keep importing, you're steady putting workers out of work here and getting food from overseas, sooner or later, everything's going to be from overseas.
In a matter of days, the fall shrimp season is set to begin in Louisiana. Palos says with the new tariffs, shrimpers will hopefully be able to pull in a profit this year. In Plaquemines Parish, Tan Trung, Fox 8 Local First.
All right, so some of the results here from the tariffs starting to catch up. And I imagine there'll be more stories like that, but it's still, it's still kind of an unknown factor. We'll see what the success rate here is. There's no doubt it's long overdue and Trump is the only president to do it. And then it kind of becomes a leverage tool because that's what Trump does with all of this stuff. He just uses everything as leverage. All the aid money we send out, NATO money, and then he negotiates these trade deals, and then he uses tariffs. So it's all just leverage in negotiations. But whatever benefits the American people, that's the most important story. And so you see that. Now, with that, maybe I should get into this economic news. And I've been talking about this off and on for a while, and I think I made the conscious decision earlier this week that I'm really going to hammer this because I don't want to see the right wing. I don't even want to say the Republican Party at this point because the Republican Party has betrayed us and let us down so many times, disenfranchises so many people. But I rather see this as a right wing issue, which the Republicans are supposed to represent. But of course, I'd rather have right wingers in our government than left wingers, even if it is just like a 10% better difference. But I see the right missing this bigly. And I understand the attitude. I certainly do, because I'm of the same mentality, which is stop complaining. I don't want to hear about your problems. You know, if you're scared, stay home. If you're scared, go to church. If you're scared, get a dog. You know, you've heard all the different sayings. So I don't go into the leftist victim mindset. I don't go into the leftist political mindset when dealing with economic stress and instability that young people complain about, and it kind of causes them to lean left or vote left. But there's a real issue here. You can talk about the predatory loans, specifically in student loans. You can talk about the real estate market that is driven the average American out of home ownership range. You can talk about this giant debt bubble. You can talk about the inflation. You can talk about the consumer price index. All of these things have been weighted against the American people. So I understand why right wingers who are independent minded, capitalist, free market minded, they don't want to hear about it. You know, it's go get to work. And I get that. I've been a practitioner of that my whole life. But at the same time, we do still have a political world that we exist in, and you have to hear people's issues. And I don't think young Americans, because the attitude used to be, generally speaking, like, oh, the younger Americans just don't want to work, or, oh, these younger Americans, they just don't know anymore. Well, that argument has kind of now ran out of its time. Because you can only say it for so long before an unaddressed issue becomes a massive issue. And so this economic issue, specifically for young people, is a massive issue. So I don't want to see the right wing completely abandon these people. I think that there's a way you can bring these people into right wing politics and believe in America again, believe in the free market again, believe in capitalism again, and not lose them to the left who just promises them free stuff. So there's a way to kind of weave in right-wing beliefs against the left promising them free stuff, which is kind of what they want to hear in a victim mindset. But also we have to have solutions. So that's why I'm always saying the easiest solution is just cut taxes. Just let Americans keep their own money. Cut regulations. Cut corporate taxes. Just wherever the government is taking money from us or forcing us to spend more money to operate, to live, start just cutting that and let Americans keep their own money. And that's just a one step process that I believe would work. But you know, there's a lot of other stuff you got to do too to address these things more directly. Like, why is the student loan process so predatory? Well, you can go back and look at, well, guess what? When the government got involved, all of a sudden it got predatory. Go figure. Go figure. Now, I'm scouring the internet. And I'm finding these videos, and they are extremely common. And I don't think most of these people don't really like the left. They don't really like liberals. They don't really like Democrats. But again, they see the callous nature of the right wing, and that kind of turns them off as well. And so they just feel politically homeless and then disenfranchised. But you have to understand, this is a very real thing. And I think that it is another generational issue, And the reason why I keep talking about this stuff is because the generational trends in politics are starting to reach a new age. There's about to be a massive generational shift in politics where, as we might call them, the older generations have dominated mostly politically. Well, they're kind of in their final phase now. And so the younger generations are starting to come of age, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z. We're getting older now, and now there's younger generations below us that are kind of our foundation and pushing us up, where the older generation politicos are kind of just lost on all of this stuff, quite frankly. There a lot of them, and I don't like making blanket statements, but a lot of them are lost on the Israel issue. A lot of them are lost on really the propaganda that we've been fed our entire lives, quite frankly. And then for this conversation, specifically on the economy issue and what these younger people have to deal with. Like an example would be, I saw somebody post a graph, older generation, big account, boomer, says, I'm sick of young people complaining about interest rates. Don't you know, interest rates have been as high as 10%. And he posted the graph of the interest rates, but he leaves out a major factor. And that's the price of a house. So when that interest rate was 9 or 10%, and he's saying, oh, these younger people, they don't know anything about interest rates. Well, houses weren't average $450,000. They were half that. So you're not entering the housing market with a $4,000 a month mortgage even if you're at 13%, I think that was the highest they were. When you're at 13% at a $200,000 house, you're still nowhere near $4,000 a month on a mortgage. And this is when the cost of living was lower. So that's what I'm saying. They're kind of just missing this, and they just really don't understand what the younger generations have grown into and grown up in. So I don't want to see the right wing miss this issue. And if they miss it politically within the Republican Party, I wouldn't be surprised. Marjorie Taylor Greene is all over it. She's with it. She gets it. And I think it will eventually reach the Republican Party when they realize, hey, why does the left keep promising them free stuff? Well, because they're disenfranchised. So I've got a ton of examples here. Now, these are younger Americans, and they're talking about their college loans, the predatory college loans. And they're talking about becoming first-time home buyers, and then it's insane. Once you buy the house, you have no more budget. And I've even kind of explained, and I don't like relating everything to my personal experience, but I think to a certain degree, I know some of my personal experience is relatable to a lot of other people because I talk to them. Like, for example, right now in the housing market, most people right now, if you move or you decide you're going to get a new house or whatever it is you're trying to do with your house, new mortgage, anything, you're losing all your equity. All the equity that you've paid into your house for years now, you're losing it all. And if you try to find a situation to lower your mortgage payment by getting a cheaper house or putting a larger down payment down, whatever it is, you can't even do it. It's almost impossible. So this is where young homeowners are at now. They're going to lose their equity if they try to sell their house and buy a new one. And they can't even get their mortgage rates down because of the interest rates. And funny enough, South Park made a reference to that actually in their recent episode too. So even South Park gets it. I guess that's kind of normal though. So let's go through some of these videos, and I went a little long here, so maybe we'll just go back to back to back to back to back, but I think we should have time here as we close out the first hour. So guys, let's go 13. I think I've got four of these. Let's just go, and maybe I'll pause in and out. 13, 14, 15, and 34. 13, 14, 15, and 34. These are becoming some of the most viral, popular videos on social media, and it's younger Americans showing you what's going on with their student loans, showing you what's going on with their first-time home buyers. And I'm sitting here from experience confirming this is exactly what it's like for younger Americans, and these are the conversations that younger Americans are having with other first-time home buyers and other people with crippling student debt. So here you go. Let's go ahead and roll these viral videos.
They tell us to stop eating out and rent's $2,000 a month. Oh, save for retirement, and yet you can barely save for next week. Go buy a house. Yep, every house is $500,000, brother. I'm not asking for a handout, man. We're asking for a freaking fair shot at life. Our parents did not work harder than we work right now. They were simply just given a better chance. Their wages covered their lives, their bills, their hobbies, their passions. Our wages barely cover our freaking bills for the month, dude.
Now pause it real quick. If you've been watching the show every day, you know I've gone down and I've crunched these exact numbers that he's referring to. I've crunched the price of a house, the price of a car, the average wage, all of it. We've gone back in time for 100 years and we've looked at each generation and we've crunched the numbers. Now, you can get into a fight about who works harder, who doesn't. You know, these are blanket statements. I don't think it's fair to apply to anybody. I know plenty of people my age that work their ass off. I know plenty of people my age that are lazy bums. Okay? Probably applies to every generation. But as far as what he's talking about with the economy and the opportunity for upward mobility financially and getting access to the asset column, 100% right. We've shown you all the numbers. We've shown you how, oh, well, you didn't make nearly as much. A house wasn't nearly as much. A car wasn't nearly as much. It used to be 50 years ago, you could buy a house and a car, the average house, the average car price, and on the average salary, you could have both of them paid off in 5 years with a monthly budget. Now you're looking at 30 years. So that's what he's talking about here. The numbers all prove him right. Continue.
They tell us to stop eating out and rent's $2,000. System designed to keep us down. We're doing the best that we can, and yet it feels like the outcome has already been decided.
Me and my wife went and did the pre-approval process for a mortgage loan yesterday, and what the f*** are you talking about? Doesn't upset me for us because we aren't the average American family. I work a very niche job in the oil field. I make a very good income. My wife is a nurse. She does very good for herself. And combined, we have a very comfortable living in our home. But for the average American, this is way f***ing far out of reach. In our area, we live in East Texas, okay? A good home is going to be at least $400,000, if not $450,000 to $500,000, okay? I try to explain this to my mom. She's telling me, oh, y'all just go get you a little $200,000 house. Mama, these $200,000 houses are fucking rundown shack. We're looking at the numbers, looking at our income, looking at our credit, and they have us at $450,000, 5% down, so $22,000. Thank God we got a little bit of money saved. They have our mortgage after PMI, after insurance, after taxes at $4,636 a month. What the are you talking about, okay? And the thing is, we could afford it. We actually could afford to spend that money on a mortgage every month. But a $5,000 mortgage? Who are y'all selling these houses to? Because we are outliers, okay? Not everybody is fortunate to have the jobs that we have. What about the regular families that bring in combined $100,000 a year? They will never qualify for this. What the is happening? Like,
I got a couple more I want to play, but I wanted to pause it right there and address this. When I started covering this stuff earlier this month, I guess just for a week now, really talking about it a lot, but kind of briefly mentioning it a couple other times in the last couple of weeks, I started having people sending me their stories. These are people my age, friends of mine, and then just some people that follow me on X. And you kind of hear it in his voice there. You'll have an idea. And even if you do a bunch of research into real estate and figure out, okay, here's where I want to be. Here's my price point. Here's my budget. You know, this is kind of this is the window that I'm looking to get into here. And then you actually sit down and you look at the documents, you look at the numbers and it's like, there's another 10 grand in the payments that you weren't anticipating. The mortgage rate you were said you were going to be having per month ends up going up $500, $1,000 when the deal is finally done. So you hear that guy, like, this is what it's like for younger Americans. And all the left does is just offer them free stuff. They can't even deliver on it, but this is what they do to get their votes. There are real solutions to this stuff. There really are. And if Republicans want to dominate the younger generation and have them voting right wing for generations, this is your opportunity to do it. Do something with the economy so that younger Americans don't feel disenfranchised and hopeless. Because that's where they're at, folks. That's where they're at. Can you imagine you're 22 years old, you've been sold a bill of goods, Looking to buy a house? 450 grand. What's your financial status? 100 grand in debt. We got to do something about it. All right, here's more.
It should be illegal to put interest on student loans. What the hell is this? The interest on my $50,000 loan for my research year during med school totals $78,000. The interest is more than the loan, meaning by the end of the payment, I owe $128,000 total. Am I doing something wrong? How else are people paying for this? Should I not have went to school? I got out of school, so I called Sallie Mae, and I was like, I can't afford these $700 payments right now. They're like, that's fine. We'll just put you on like $250 payments for a year, which means that once I get out of these $250 payments, it will actually, my loan would have actually went up because I wouldn't have been paying the full interest amount every year. So paying the minimum off my student loan every year does nothing but shave off the interest, which means the loan never goes away. Separate from this $50,000 loan, I have $250,000 in loan through the med school that I haven't even considered yet, that I don't want to think about. So I have $300,000 in direct debt, but if I include the interest, then my debt is actually over $500,000.
Now, there's other things to address dealing with that, especially the medical school issue. Now, if we are going to start deporting people and stop taking as many immigrants, then maybe you don't have a doctor shortage. But, I mean, we were well on our way to a doctor shortage. And these dumbass communists just think, oh, healthcare can be free. Are doctors slaves? What do you think is going to entice a doctor? What do you think is going to entice a young American to be a doctor if they know they're going to go into a $250,000 of debt? And they know they're going to be worked like a slave because somebody votes for free healthcare. Well, they're not going to be doctors anymore. Doesn't look like a good situation, does it? Now, I got one more we'll get to coming up. It'll fill the next segment where a lady really goes into the nitty-gritty here. But we want to let you know here, we have a special going on. It's back in stock, Ultimate Turmeric with Ginger Root and Black Pepper. This health supplement is finally back in stock. And you can get it for up to 50% off when you subscribe and never run out again. Packed with a potent combination of turmeric extract, ginger root, and black pepper, the Alex Jones Store brings you a supplement designed to promote healthy joints and inflammation balance, also boosting antioxidant defenses like nothing else on the market. Anti-inflammatory, helps reduce inflammation in the body, beneficial to joint health and chronic pain. Other benefits include the antioxidants, supporting brain health. That's just the turmeric that's in there. So this is the Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, back in stock, very popular. It's been out of stock, but it's back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And when you subscribe for auto ship, you can get up to 50% off.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
I have to put myself in the TikTok world. I'm a little bit frustrated. This is regarding student loans. If you don't give a crap about student loans, you can just be on your way. I have been paying on my student loan since 2008. I have never been delinquent. I have never missed a payment, and I've always made the payment that is requested, and even I've made additional payments or sometimes more than my payment. I have been in the forgiveness plan since 2008. Now, when I graduated college with my degree in education, I left with a little under $28,000 in student loans. I, to date, have paid $37,000 back to my student loans since 2008, but I still owe like $58,000. The math isn't mathing. I'm not great at math, but the math isn't mathing there. So I've actually paid off my student loans. I was rolled over into the SAVE plan, and if you aren't aware, SAVE plan currently is in litigation and it has been in forbearance, which means that you do not have to make any payments and there's no interest accruing. However, our lovely government has now decided that starting August 1st, less than 30 days notice, interest is going to start accruing on your student loans. So yes, think about that. Your loan is in forbearance. It's in the middle of litigation lawsuits. You aren't required to make payments, but now interest is going to accrue, which means it's just basically going to drive up your balance. Can you make payments towards just the interest? Yes, of course you can. But I've been seeing a lot on TikTok, people are like, you need to find a way to get out of the SAVE plan. Okay, let's go see. I applied back in January. I was told I wasn't eligible. They would then consider me for some other type of plan. Okay, well, here it is July 10th, and I contacted my servicer, Advantage, and they said they don't know. They directed me back to the studentaid.gov, and because it's been more than 6 months, they told me to submit an application. Working on my said application, it now tells me my repayment plan option. Yes, my payments are going to double, and I'm looking at about $900 or so a month, I guess. It's an estimate. The problem I have with this is, as of today, in the SAVE plan, my forgiveness is now January of 2028. Prior to the litigation and everything going in forbearance, my forgiveness was January of 2027. I still make payments, even though I'm not required, and those payments do not count towards my payoff. They're just payments. If I opt, according to the studentaid.gov, if I opt to go into the only payment plan I am given, my student loan forgiveness starts over. According to this, it says I will now start again for 25 years. So 300 months, which means my forgiveness now would take effect of May of 2032. Make this make sense. Make this make sense to me. Like, I am almost there. So do I just sit in the SAVE plan and pay the interest until the government, who has already said they're getting rid of
the
SAVE plan?
So these are the issues younger Americans are staring at. Just so you get an idea of why they're feeling so disenfranchised and why they're going to vote somebody like Mom Donnie into the mayor's office in New York City, why somebody like AOC is on the rise in the Democrat Party, why Democrat socialists are likely going to take over the entire party once the Schumers and the Pelosis are retired. It's because of issues like this. And make no mistake about it, these are Americans that would probably be right wing. These are Americans that would probably be conservative. But they don't have anybody on the right addressing these issues. They're not hearing from anybody on the right to take care of this stuff. They're just insulted, told it's their fault, instead of somebody actually trying to offer them solutions that doesn't result or involve in communism. All right, we got other news to cover on the other side.
You just- just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theoxygenstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, thealexhillstore.com.
The man who dares to defy the deep state narrative, Owen Schroyer.
All right, we played the clip of Marjorie Taylor Greene to open the show, and she's way ahead of this. And I think the future of the Republican Party is now Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I actually do like J.D. Vance. But we'll see what happens after 4 years of President Trump. But I don't think Trump politics are going to end up having the staying power that we originally had thought. Now, he arrests the deep state and delivers on the greatest economy of all time and stops these wars, then yes. I'd say those are the three things. If he can check all three of those boxes, then Trump politics will become a multi-generational thing, and basically he can hand the reins over to Vance or whoever he wants after he's done. But if those three things are not delivered on, then it opens up the door for a new brand of Republican conservative that will ultimately look and sound more like a Thomas Massie, a Marjorie Taylor Greene politically. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene also posted this. Now, this is in response to something that Scott Bessent is up to. U.S. Congress urges Treasury Secretary Bessent to investigate Ireland's proposed boycott of Israel. The United States must send a clear signal that efforts to economically isolate Israel will carry consequences. Why would this even be on our map, folks? You know, why are we now getting involved in Ireland's politics over what they have a foreign policy issue with Israel over? Why? And by the way, I'm no fan of Maduro and the communists in Venezuela. Let's be perfectly clear. No fan. But you know why he's being targeted now too, don't you? Because he's anti-Israel. He's anti-Netanyahu. He's called out Netanyahu as a war criminal. And I would also say there's probably another angle in there with the oil that he's just storing up. So again, I'm not endorsing Maduro. Not a good guy. But the whole reason why now he's being targeted by this administration is because he's anti-Israel. And now they're going after Ireland. Because they've got a foreign policy over Israel. It's ridiculous. Is this the American government or the Israeli government? So Marjorie Taylor Greene says this. What's happening? America's economic power and success should not be used as a blunt force weapon against other countries on behalf of Israel's economy, which, by the way, we subsidize. I'm a big supporter of Secretary Bessent as he is working hard to level the playing field for America. But Congress, who is overwhelmingly controlled by multiple foreign governments, especially the secular government of Israel, is fighting for Israel first. I'll give you an example. I'm in Texas visiting family, and I've talked to a lot of people here. Beef is at an all-time high, and I'm happy for those cattle ranchers because they got hurt a few years back from a big drought, however, that is hitting people hard at the checkout line at the grocery stores. The average American is barely getting by, and this is what Congress should be fighting for. My confused colleagues are blinded and have forgotten that their job title is representative in the United States House of Representatives. So you see, what I read from this too because I've just learned this through experience, most people in the political world, specifically people in D.C., they really are completely separated now from the common American. They have no idea the average American's experience, that they have no idea the average American's issues. They're completely disconnected. They live in a D.C. political bubble, or they live in a bubble where they have no financial concerns, so they just, it's just, they're just totally unfamiliar with it. I actually talk to a lot of people. I actually get out of my house, go to dinner, you know, talk to bartenders, waiters, waitresses, people that work at the gym, friends at the gym, people I play ball with. I mean, they all are saying the same stuff. And it's clear to me, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's tuned into this. She's talking to people. She's hearing what they're saying. I would put it like this, actually. I thought of this the other day because I kept getting these same messages. In 2015 and 16, now I started working here in 2016. But in 2015, when Trump came down the golden elevator and gave his opening speech, I thought, okay, this is interesting. This is a businessman. I mean, really, I think we all kind of saw what needed to be done. We needed, really, quite frankly, we needed a billionaire businessman with a massive public profile and name recognition to get involved in politics, because that's kind of the only shot we have as getting an outsider in to actually represent the interests of the American people, who's not just a bought and paid for politician. So as soon as he did that, I was like, oh, okay. And it didn't take long for me to go all in for Trump. And so you've seen the street videos. You know, my YouTube channel's been nuked. But if you went back and saw my 2015 stuff, 2016 stuff, you would have seen that I was standing up for Trump hardcore. All the stuff we did here at InfoWars, you know, it's all been nuked off YouTube. But there's still hours of it. Other people have archived. I was standing up hardcore for Trump when he was getting attacked by the right wing, the likes of Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, when he was getting attacked by all corporate media on the right and the left, when he was getting attacked from the Republican Party, and they wouldn't fund his campaign. He had to run his own campaign, fund his own campaign. And it was still like taboo to support Donald Trump. It was like, you're the bad guy at that time if you support Donald Trump. Well, maybe I like being the bad guy, or maybe I just am you know, I'm convicted in my beliefs, so I there was no other way for me to go. So I start getting messages in 2015 that are like, you know, thank you for supporting Trump. Thank you for saying this about Trump. Thank you for calling this out. It was like, hey, you know, we can't talk about it. You know, we like Trump, but thank you. Like, thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking the stand. Thank you for being brave. Some people may remember this. You may have been around in 2015. You may have not have been, but that's what it was like. It was like, if you were going to go out publicly in politics as a Trump supporter, you were going to be the bad guy. You were going to be the bad guy. You were going to get attacked. You were going to get laughed at. You were going to get called a racist, a misogynist, a homophobe, everything. And there were a few voices that were willing to stand up and say it proud and take the slings and arrows. So I was getting all kinds of incoming emails, texts, phone messages, everything. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're so brave. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, fast forward 10 years, 2025. The same thing is happening now, except with Israel. Now it's like, oh, thank you for saying this about Israel. Thank you for saying this about Netanyahu. No one else will say it. Everybody's too scared. Oh, I can't say it because of the field I'm in. Oh, I can't say it because I'm in D.C. Or, oh, I can't say it because of this. But thank you. Keep it up. Keep doing it. It's the exact nature of what I was getting in 2015 for supporting Trump. Now, look at what's happened with that in 10 years. What do you think is going to happen with Israel in 10 years? Oh, you start to get it? It's what I've been telling you. So I don't know why it's like Marjorie Taylor Greene is the only person that sees this. Well, I should retract that. She's not the only person that sees this. She's one of the very few people that doesn't take AIPAC money. I'll leave it at that. I mean, but yeah, it in 10 years, it'll be so mainstream to be anti-Israel that it's going to blow your mind. So if you can even comprehend it, where Trump supporters were at 10 years ago, being the most hated people in politics, the most attacked people in politics, the black sheep, the taboo people in politics for supporting Trump, and now look at it, Trump is the establishment. Everybody supports Trump. It's going to be the same thing with the Israel issue in 10 years. Everybody will be anti-Israel. We'll be done with it. So I say all that because listen to Mike Johnson. I mean, they don't even hide it, folks. And so I thought about kind of doing this bit, you know, because we have this whole gaslighting about Qatar. It's like, show me one Qatar flag in the United States Congress. You won't find it. You'll find dozens of Israeli flags. Show me our foreign policy that Qatar is influencing. You can't. It's all Israel. So it's this whole gaslighting. It's like, oh, yeah, Qatar spends a bunch of money. Everybody spends a bunch of money. We give money to Israel. They don't spend money here. They already own us with blackmail. These other countries, yeah, they try to buy influence. They actually send money in. Israel's not sending money in. They're just draining us. They're just taking our money. So it's really a bad deal either way. So I thought about doing this bit where it's like every time we see this, I'll just say it's Qatar because everybody will get it. So it's like, oh, here's Mike Johnson in Qatar with the giant Qatar lobby telling Americans how great Qatar is. So let's go to Mike Johnson in Qatar with the American Qatari Political Action Committee. Clip 19.
Hi, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, United States Congress. We're here in Jerusalem. I've just joined the APAC trip with all of our freshman members. The Republican members are on this trip, and Democrat members will come in a couple of days. It's a great time, a very important time, a historic time to be here in Israel, to stand with our close ally and friend, and to give them the encouragement to know that leaders in Congress are with them in these very challenging times. We're so grateful to APAC for doing this trip annually. It's something that all the members look forward to. It's a great piece of education at a really important time in history. Thanks so much to everybody who made this possible. We're fans of yours. God bless.
Yeah, that's right, folks. Every freshman member of Congress goes to Qatar because Qatar is our greatest ally. And so it's important for them to go to Qatar and be educated, you see, as Mike Johnson says. Our most important ally, Qatar, he's in Qatar with the big Qatari American pack. And every freshman, every congressional freshman, they have to go to Qatar. They go every single one, every single congressional session. They all have to go to Qatar and be educated. Don't you get it? That's Qatar. They run things. It's not Israel. Because if it was, then you wouldn't have stories like this. Sephora urged to drop Huda Beauty cosmetic line after founder claims that Israel caused world wars. Well, see, that's Qatari influence. You're not allowed to criticize Qatar and claim that Qatar started world wars. That will get you shut down, don't you see? Israel has no influence. Okay, I'm going to say something negative about Israel. You're going to lose your business. We're going to shut you down. Now, if it was an Israeli company and they got boycotted, that would be illegal. But see, this is how ridiculous it is. I can go online. You can spend an hour online. Go find the craziest content you want. Go find the biggest conspiracy theories you want. Nobody's threatening to shut these people down. Nobody's censoring these people, attacking these people, lawsuits, boycotts. It's only for one specific issue and country. And yes, despite my sarcasm, it's not Qatar. Oh, Israel has no influence. Oh, okay, really? I'm going to criticize Israel. Okay, we're going to shut you down and boycott you. How do you like that? How do you like that? And don't be surprised when there's a little other issue we have in Europe, not just with the Irish, but now with the Germans, now with Slovenia. Germany suspends arm exports to Israel over Gaza occupation. Oh, well, look out, Germany. Probably increased tariffs coming for you. Slovenia introduces ban on imports from Israeli-occupied territories. So Israel-occupied territories, are they banning imports from America too? Oh, right. Slovenia to ban imports of Israeli settlement goods. Why is Slovenia the only EU country to ban arms trade with Israel? Well, now Germany's in on it too. You've seen the backlash in France and other countries. And then they get a call from the White House that says, if you do something against Israel, we increase tariffs 500%. Oh, that's the Qatari influence. Obviously. Now, Netanyahu said what we knew all along. Now they're just public about it. So first they attack you and they call you names. And then Netanyahu comes out and confirms everything that we've said. I mean, specifically, literally, I've been saying that Israel will not go on the ground because they don't want to get their soldiers blown up. But the whole plan is to take the Gaza Strip. So now Netanyahu, like, oh, this is our new military strategy. Here's Netanyahu. Oh, this is the new strategy. This was never the strategy all along since October 7th. That's why they stood down. No, this is now what Israel has decided to do. And, of course, it's Fox News delivering you this Israeli propaganda here in clip 20.
You will go immediately into a meeting with your security cabinet. Will Israel take control of all of Gaza?
We intend to. In order to assure our security, remove Hamas there, enable the population to be free of Gaza, and to pass it to civilian governance. That is not Hamas and not anyone advocating the destruction of Israel. That's what we want to do. We want to liberate ourselves and liberate the people of Gaza from the awful terror of Hamas. And
of course, all of that is a lie. There's not going to be a Palestinian Gaza government. It's going to be all Israel. They don't give a damn about the population. They've probably killed about 5% of the population. And they've completely destroyed the entire region. Now, guys, I'm sorry. There should have been a second clip. Do we have – see if you guys can find the clip where he talks about how – why they've just decided to level the Gaza Strip. I forgot to send that one to you. See if you guys can find that one. Now, there's a former Israeli intelligence asset who has written books, who's now doing interviews, and I didn't send this – to you guys, because they're like 30-minute interviews this guy's doing. But you can find him. His name is Ari Ben Menash. Ari Ben Menash. He's written books, Prophets of War, Inside the Secret U.S.-Israeli Arms Network. And again, worked with Israeli intelligence. And he's going and doing interviews now, and he's saying exactly what I've been saying. He's saying that Israel is doing the Epstein drip, drip, drip to try to get Trump to get involved in their regime change war with Iran. So you have, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of strange. I have this other story on my desk. Liberals are saying that this is a liberal comedian who's not even funny. It's actually really pathetic watching her comedy. She says, I'm not kidding or exaggerating when I say this. They're going to kill unhoused people. She's talking about Trump becoming the task force head of the 2028 Olympics. So the liberal conspiracy theory is they're going to kidnap all the homeless and have them killed. I'm now in this weird deal where, like, I'm no longer the conspiracy theorist. I'm not even a conspiracy theorist anymore. I don't even really do much conspiracy theorizing. I just present reality. And I'm like, wow, the liberals are the conspiracy theorists now. You'd say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory that Israel is just bombing the Gaza Strip to avoid blowing up soldiers. No, it's not. Oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. It's just a conspiracy theory that Israel is going to take the Gaza Strip. Oh, now they admit it. It's really weird, actually. It's just a conspiracy theory that Israel's doing the drip, drip, drip on the Epstein stuff to influence Trump. Israeli spy comes out and says that's exactly what's happening. So I'm not even really a conspiracy theorist anymore. Did we find that clip, guys? I know you have something on the side screen here. Yes, there it is. I'm sorry. Okay, we do have the clip. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist, unless Netanyahu's a conspiracy theorist, because listen to him saying exactly what I've been saying for months. Go ahead.
In the southern town of Rafah, near the Sinai Desert in Egypt, and that town has been flattened. And you have been accused of genocide. How do you respond to that?
Well, as Ambassador Huckabee said, if we're practicing genocide, we're surely doing a very bad job of it, because we could have, you know, basically eliminated the entire population of Gaza, but we went the other direction. We did something that no army in history ever did. We're supplying humanitarian food to the enemy's population because we distinguish between combatants and non-combatants. We're putting in, we put in 2 million tons
pause this
of food.
He gets to it eventually here. Can you believe this guy? I'm amazed. And I understand that the AIPAC lobby has bought our Congress. Okay? I get that. This is just absurd. Bibi Netanyahu pretending to be the humanitarian? Bibi Netanyahu pretending like Israel is the good guy in this equation? I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's like if Satan himself was sitting at the desk saying, I'm the good guy. I love humans. I wouldn't hurt anybody. I wouldn't deceive anybody. Netanyahu, oh, we're the good guys here. We're delivering it. We care about people. Whatever, Bill Hemmer doesn't want to push back. I get it. It's all propaganda anyway. It's just, who still believes this guy? I'm amazed. I am truly amazed at anybody left that still supports Netanyahu. A disgusting, lying warmonger. Now he gets to the part, oh, I'm the conspiracy theorist saying that they won't send in the IDF because they don't want to get blown up. Oh, really? Yeah, here's Netanyahu, the conspiracy theorist, telling you exactly that.
I mean, if we wanted to commit genocide, we wouldn't give 2 million tons of food to the population. And also, the reason you see the flattened buildings is because Hamas booby traps every single building. So when we come in, we first have the population moved, even though Hamas tries to keep them in the combat zones. But after they move and we start to move into the neighborhoods that are now populated only by terrorists, they ignite these booby traps. So what we do is we put in an APC, an armored personnel carrier, with a lot of explosives, detonate it. It sets off all the booby traps, and the buildings begin to collapse as a result of that. They're empty buildings. They're not populated buildings.
Now, a lot of people are actually saying he's lying about that, but he's actually being honest about that. Now, he might be exaggerating to say it's every building, but no, actually, if he's being honest about anything, he's actually, that is one thing he's being honest about. So it's strange. I'm not even a conspiracy theorist anymore, folks. I'm really not. I just deliver the truth. I really don't even conspiracy theorize anymore. I just deliver you the facts. I call balls and strikes, play by play. No, they will not send in, the IDF on the ground because they don't want their troops getting blown up. That's the fact. So they just bombed the whole thing. That's it. And it was all part of the plan. Stand down on October 7th, level the entire Gaza Strip, and then move in and claim it and bring in the Israeli settlers. That was the plan the entire time. And anyone else acting like that wasn't the case is either a moron or a liar. Because you're now only one step away from Netanyahu admitting that was the plan the whole time. You're one step away. Now he's saying, okay, we're going to go in there and we're going to take Gaza, but we're going to give it to the Palestinians. We're going to give them, Israel put the Hamas leadership in charge. It was always a controlled opposition. So he says that now. No. The Israelis are already moving in. They're already getting ready to settle. They're probably already signing the contracts with BlackRock and Vanguard. And then you'll see it, 100% confirmed, that was the plan the whole time. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet, or whether it's the modern day atmosphere, or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier, S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Hey, this is your friendly reminder as we're halfway through the show. We'll get into the odds here. We'll get into some of the betting odds. It's hot. It's hot right now. After another female toy landed on a WNBA basketball court the other night, some people got a 4-to-1 payout if you bet on the color purple. The individual has been arrested, but this is your friendly reminder halfway through the show. More people have been arrested for throwing dildos on a WNBA court than Jeffrey Epstein clients. Have a nice day, America. Okay, and with that, you like that one, Sal? With that, we bring in my next guest, Sal Greco. You got a kick out of that one. Is there a WNBA team in New York City? There's got to be, right? There's probably there'll be. You know what I would do, Sal? And we got some serious topics here, but you know what? It's a Friday. Let's have some good time.
Of course.
Sal, I got a business proposition for you. Before we get into the serious stuff, can I make a business proposition for you?
Sure.
The New York Liberty, right? That's the team in New York. It's the New York Liberty. I think they won the championship last year.
Yes.
They've got a 3-point shooter on the team. She's got some European name, that blonde girl. They may have some other good players. Iboshku or something like that. What I would like to do here, you and I, let's make an investment, a joint investment. I'll take other investors that are tuned in. Let's open a female sex toy shop right next to every WNBA arena. It doesn't have to be a big enterprise. We don't need much space. We just need a small little countertop. That's it. You know, just a couple in stock every day. We'll upcharge you. And then you can walk right into the arena and, you know, whatever you want to do, it's your business. It's not our business what you end up doing with that object. I think I'm looking for business opportunities here, Sal.
I'm sure they're going to prosecute that person to the fullest extent of the law. Meanwhile, they leave people like Eric Adams, who's the criminal mayor of New York City, out free. He's out in the open as long as he's sitting there banging a drum. Oh, I love Trump. Now Trump, by the way.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. No. Are you telling me that dildo throwers are going to experience the long dick of the law?
That's right. Oh, they're going to get it all right. You know, if you know what I mean. They're going to get it, if you know what I mean. That's what's going to happen. Okay. This guy's going to get it. And meanwhile, the real criminals are running rampant in New York City, all over the place. And, don't worry about it. Oh, they beat up our cops in the street? Oh, no, that's nothing. That's just this, give him a little slap on the wrist, a little summons. That's okay. You're throwing dildos on the court. Oh, no. You got to do some serious time. We want money. He'll probably get banned for life from MSG for that. But, you know, they have like these transgender people and all these crazy people walking in there doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but that's okay. The dildo guy, the guy selling dildos, that's the guy we gotta completely go after him and destroy his life.
It's the greatest thing that's actually ever happened to the WNBA, if you ask me. but that's for another conversation. All right. I'm covering the new Project Veritas video.
Hell yeah.
And this gal who's now blowing the whistle and showing all of her notes, talking about how Bill Barr was part of this targeting operation, which is extremely concerning considering he was the acting attorney general under President Trump. And, you know, I think there's a lot of other questions for maybe just generally Americans to get into as far as what led to that. But as far as this Project Veritas video is concerned, I know that you have kind of your own take on this with your own, let's say political intel here. What is your response to what has been revealed by this lady in the Project Veritas video?
Well, I'd like to say, first of all, I just got a text from just a couple of minutes ago. This came to me attention-wise by our good friend Roger Stone. He sent this to me last night, and I looked at it, and I said, oh, boy. First of all, I did a little bit of a digging. So this female that's on here, number one, I know she has a shoddy track record. She's made allegations in the past. I am telling you, though, as a former police officer, I know this game. Just because someone has a prior history doesn't mean that they're not telling the truth. Or if they have an axe to grind, they're not telling the truth. Because right there, she's showing you notes. She has damaging.
So you're saying you can flip. You're saying you can flip bad guys.
Correct. As long as they have evidence, meaning documents, you have to have something. In this case, she has pictures. She has documents to prove a lot of what she says already. And in fact, Armstrong Williams, who I happen to know, I've been on his show. Armstrong Williams has gone after her character, but not refuted anything that she has said. She's shown a lot of text messages that said, destroy your burner phones. Where have I heard that before? Yeah, Eric Adams, burner phones. What is that about? What are you walking around with burner phones for? If you're not doing anything that's not, questionable by the law, Owen. So first, I'm going to say, even if her shoddy record, we'll say, from the past, whatever she did in Brazil, don't factor that in here. Take your feelings out because there's a lot of evidence here. Now, the part that's very important to me here is, as you know, Owen, you and I, you being close to Alex, me being close to Roger, we were both in D.C. on January 5th and 6th. If you go back, and it's funny because we had this stupid documentary team in the room filming Roger and like a total hit piece that also I never signed any paperwork to be in this thing, but they were filming us. And it's funny because you and I, when we finally got to speak after all of this mishigas, the Secret Service called that room. It was a suite on the fifth floor, and it was yours truly that picked up that phone. Now, this was on that film, but they never showed it. I don't know why. I wonder why.
Well, and you know what's funny about that, too, not to get you off base, but just so for clarification, And, you know, because I had been traveling to D.C. a lot with Roger and we were hosting the show together, they would take images from, I think Roger interviewed, me and Roger both interviewed, I think it was Patrick Byrne, Michael Flynn. Like, we were going in and out of D.C. interviewing people at these hotels a lot. But, and so, and this was before January 6th. And then they were taking these photos from, from months, years before and saying, oh, look, it's all of them on January 6th. Look, here they are plotting January 6th. And I'm like, that's from 2021. That has not, they didn't even steal the, or that's from 2017. That's from 2018. That's not even, they hadn't stolen the election yet. So, so just so people understand, we were in DC a lot. We were doing interviews in hotels in DC a lot. They took advantage of that documentary trying to frame Roger, and then they found any photos they could of Roger in a hotel in D.C. that I happened to be in some, and they said, see, look, this is proof they were doing it, and it had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and on top of it, the infamous photo, I know you have some of these whack job, I don't know, conspiracy theorists attacking Roger and General Flynn. The first day he ever saw General Mike Flynn face-to-face was in your suite, Owen. It was Alex's suite where you did the first interview you ever did with General Mike Flynn. And we happened to walk in. We were just saying hello to you guys because we were, that was, you know, we didn't know you just came into DC. So we were saying hello to you guys. We were all in there. And I took the infamous picture of Roger and General Flynn taking the thumbs up. And
that
then
was
we
you.
Left.
You set me
up. That was me. That was me that took that picture. You're in the background.
I'm just sitting in the background, Rob, I think, on my phone. And they're like, look, it was a plot. It was a plot. I'm like, dude, we were literally doing an interview.
We got kicked out because you had like 30 people, production team, the entire InfoWars crew was there. There's no room for me and Roger. There's no room for us. So we said hello. We briefly met General Flynn, and that was it. That was the extent of all this. You guys met up. That was it. But what was more important was the next day, Owen, because everyone knows my own case. You know, the NYPD came down on me. I wonder how, because they were communicating with these clowns in D.C. And, after I had come back and we were in the hotel room and we gave, there's the picture, and we stopped and we said, you know what? We're not going anywhere, right? That phone rings right around the time when Trump gives his speech and you start to hear things going on. And it's the Secret Service. And, you know, it's the one time I didn't take a name or a number because I hear Secret Service. I just turn around and tell Roger, hey, are we going to the Capitol? Are we marching there? Are you supposed to go there or something? Who is this person? And that's when Roger said, what are you talking about? We're not doing that. And I just said, yeah, that's not happening. And I closed the phone. And then later on, I learned from you that the exact same thing happened to you with Alex right around that exact same time. It was around, I'd say, between 11:30 and like 12:15 in the afternoon.
Let's Let's hone in on this because this is really it's like if you're going to talk about a conspiracy to entrap some of the biggest names that supported President Trump that were on Bill Barr's list, this is how it all ties into this reveal by this lady here. If you were going to entrap them, which clearly they had an agenda to, she just proved it, then what would you do? You'd stage an event like they did on January 6th, and you'd try to have these people at the front of that event. And so that's what they did. Now, again, call it God's intervention, call it just media craziness, whatever. When they tried to get me and Alex to lead the whole thing to the Capitol before the Capitol was breached, you know, we took an hour or whatever just to get all our ducks in the row with the production team, the security, you know, people need to take a leak, whatever. And then Alex and I kind of debating what we wanted to do for about 15 minutes before we ultimately decided to stand there for a bit. Yeah, if we would have gone when Secret Service wanted us to go, we would have been arriving right when the breach would have happened. They would have blamed probably the whole thing on us. So what you're saying is they tried to basically get Roger to do the same thing, or was it like they were calling to figure out where he was? Like, hey, we got to get Roger at the front of this too. We got to entrap him.
Correct. We always assumed after the fact. And remember, I couldn't talk to Roger for a year because of this NYPD nonsense. You can't talk to someone with a criminal record, but they're hanging out with a known human trafficking a drug dealer up there in the Bronx. But they told me I couldn't speak to them because when I finally did a year later, you know, he was telling me, you know, they were trying to get me to go down at that very moment because that's what this sounded like, because we all forgot that phone call happened. I answered it, And it just so happened that he said, no, I had no idea. Because everyone's saying, you're Rogers. I'm not Rogers Security. I was his friend. And his actual security, which ended up being those Oath Keeper guys that I just met the day before. I have no idea who they are. They later on went to the Capitol and whatever happened there. But we didn't have any communications with these people short of they were outside the building and we weren't going to leave the building at all. So that's what ended up happening that day with that entrapment. Now, when you fast forward of everything that happened, there was the FBI investigation. There was the NYPD investigation. They were involved with me because I'm a law enforcement person. All right. Then later on, it was a January 6th committee. So when you factor all of this in, and now I was told at this time from somebody high up, I never going to mention names, that it was a Washington think tank that thought up of all this nonsense you saw. This whole spectacle they put on, remember that made for TV, ABC stuff with the committee. So when we see her notes, and it's very important to notice, I mean, Kyle Serafin was a good friend of ours too, he could tell you this. When they say subject, in the NYPD, a subject in an investigation is the target, meaning you're the sole perpetrator or perpetrator subjects. But when they write target, target means the target. You're the actual perpetrator they want. Now, in this case, Owen, we already went through my own case. There was never any evidence of any criminality. Short of the fact that everybody just so happened to be around the same area, around the same times, and who was pictured with who and rubbing elbows. There's a million people there. They used that whole guilt by association, right? Because you saw the three names they put. They said Stuart Rhodes, who I've never met before, Enrique Tarrio, who I've seen in person a couple of times, but I know he's friends with Roger. Good guy. In my opinion, he's a good guy. Some people don't like him, you know, whatever. And then Roger, those three they were targeting for that whole, oh, they planned this whole thing. Meanwhile, all three of them are well known to have never been near this building, nowhere near the grounds. I have no idea how they came up with this. But now you know by watching this and what this woman is saying, she's clearly laying out Bill Barr was planning this way back. We don't even know how far back it is. Way back when, because it said the notes, wants to talk to Merrick Garland, who's the DOJ, he's the head of DOJ at that time, and then voila, you have the FBI and the January 6th committee with Liz Cheney, who hates Roger, by the way. She hates Alex and Roger. That's a fact. She put that whole spectacle on there. And I remember getting subpoenaed by the same people right after my trial. And I'll tell you another thing, Owen. When this was going on, you remember this New York Times, and this guy writes hit pieces in New York Times against any Trump surrogate or Trump. And so he wrote an article at that time, and I went down to be to go to the January 6th committee hearing, whatever it is, the deposition for me. And in this deposition, they had asked me a question about something that came on, this Friends of Stone signal chat that had like a bunch of people in it that basically just people posting like articles that were either in favor of Roger or Trump or like try to disseminate information.
Yeah,
kind
of
like
these,
that.
It's one of these messaging app groups that's just like, it's just, you know, it gets out of control.
Yeah, you get thrown in it, and you don't even know who the hell the leader is. You just know you're in there with a bunch of people. So they asked me a question about this. They said, oh, according to this article that came out, there's a Friends of Stone chat. First they said it was Telegram. It wasn't. It was Signal. And then, you know, they asked me, I go, what are you talking about? I don't even know if anyone was in that chat. Who the hell knows? Because it's like I would see things that you get chat, like text from people that are like so long. Like there's so much like days you've missed that you're like, whatever. So I don't know. You look in the chat and there was nothing criminal in this thing anyway. No one was plotting anything. Just like I said, you know, that article didn't come out until 3 days or 4 days later. So this person from the January 6th committee, his lawyer, was asking me a question of something that was in the works, meaning so the New York Times or someone's coordinating with other people, which would make sense because I mean, Armstrong Williams would be someone who is good for messaging. So if you watch her video later on, she says he went in the building. And that's funny because we know people that were journalists, right? They went in the building. They got charged like they were trespassing. But I guess Armstrong didn't, which is another story. They said you were on the Capitol grounds, which you weren't. I think you were on the side telling people don't go in there. And they were trying to say you went in the building. So all of this adds up. And to see the word target and how they handled this and what has transpired. And Owen, you and I, our lives are forever changed. Mine could technically be tarnished. They threw me out of the police department. They made me into some insurrectionist. I've never been to this building. I had no part in this. And to be honest, Owen, I think by the grace of God, the only reason Roger's not in any kind of legal jeopardy or whatever was because I was there and I testified and gave him the truth. And it's hard to go around a cop who has all these accolades that never lied and testified and put everyone in prison. Well, I had no reason to lie. Everything I said was true.
Let's kind of get a little more detail oriented here so that people can get a full understanding. And then I'll kind of ask you the pivotal question. The event that day, Trump's speech at the Ellipsis, and maybe it's worth kind of building a timeline here.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say some of the other names of the individuals that were involved, but they were good people. At that time, it was so people in the Republican Party and right wing politics were very scared. They were very scared. They didn't want to talk about the election being stolen. And they really had no interest in pushing back against it. They didn't. They were all scared. Now, of course, times have changed. Now they'll all say the election was stolen. But back then, they were scared. They didn't want to. So when we were doing this initial push, there were only a small handful of individuals that wanted anything to do with it. And I will say to their credit, and I just won't name their names right now because I don't know if they still want to be involved in this discussion, and I didn't see them on that list. But to their credit, the few individuals that said, no, we want to be involved in this Stop the Steal. What can we do? All right. Let's secure a pass for a stage on the Capitol grounds. So they helped us get a pass for the stage. And they secured some other funding so that we could set up a platform and have a stage too. So, I know Alex invested a lot of time and money, I think, in that process. And then there were some other people that helped organize. But the point is now, so, all of that to say, this wasn't like a mainstream deal. This was just a couple of brave patriots that said, hey, they stole this election from Trump. We're not afraid to say it. Now, at the time, us getting access to the White House in this degree was pretty rare. And I don't know if I would even say it was like they weren't allowing us access or if we even tried, but it was like, oh, now we are like, the people, like now it's like we're the people. And so they put us in the front row of Trump's speech that day, the front row. Like this is not something they normally do. They don't give us, this is not some exclusive access that they give us and say, okay, you're going to be in the front row of Trump's speech. So it's like, oh, okay. Some recognition for the work we're putting in here while everybody else is sticking their tail between their legs like a bunch of cowards. We're putting our necks out there to try to stop the steal. And so it's like, oh, okay. All right. We'll be in the front row. And so I was supposed to be sitting next to Roger that day. I think maybe he had some different instincts that told him, I'm not going down. I'm not doing it. And there were a couple other individuals that I think had similar instincts that were next to us at the time too. Like, the Gateway Pundit had seats next to us. And they were like, yeah, I don't have a good feeling about this. Roger the same way. Well, okay. I look back on it now with all these details and it's like, the only time we get this access, the only time we got Secret Service trying to run us, the only time they want us at the front of a major Trump event, they want us at the front of a major event, not just us organically doing it, but it's like the White House and the Secret Service. So it's like, here, let's take you backstage. Here, lead the march. Hey, call Roger. Where's Roger at? He was supposed to be right there. They were supposed to get both of us to lead the march. And then again, an hour goes by, whatever, we're just getting organized. The thing was breached by the time we ever got there. It was already out of control. So now I look at this and I'm like, at the time, say the spidey senses were already like, was this an entrapment effort? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me being paranoid. Maybe it's just my conspiracy theory side. I don't know. Kind of feels weird. Now you see this and it's like, wow. I mean, now I'm like 80, 90% like, yeah, that was a straight up attempt to put Alex and put Roger and myself and others at the front of that march. Correct. so that at the exact time when probably their guys on the ground breached the gates, we'd be right there and they'd say, bing, they did it, and they'd have us in jail for 20 years.
That's exactly what I believe the plan was. It's, you could clearly see it. And by the only reason Roger wasn't there, I had left early with one of his security guards to try to get the, we had no tickets. You need tickets to get in. So when I got there, and it's stupid because it's in the NYPD investigation. The guy I was with, the security guy, didn't know how to talk to the Secret Service agent that has a long gun, by the way. He's a cop. He's not a Secret Service. You know, they have their own police there, Secret Service police. So I had to show my ID so he didn't turn around and shoot us. So when he saw my ID, he saw it was a friendly, and I asked the simplest questions. I said, we're supposed to have tickets. Do you know where to go here? And in all honesty, this guy might have saved everybody's time and said, I'm going to be honest with you. He's Secret Service. He doesn't even know what the hell's going on with the rally. And I went straight back to Roger and said, I want out of here. This does not feel good. This look good. If the Secret Service doesn't know what's going on, that doesn't bode well. I'm a cop. So that's the truth of what happened. It's well documented. People like to ignore this. But when I see something like this, Owen, if any of this is true, and it definitely starts to point that way, Bill Barr needs his own subpoenas. The way Letitia James got his, Bill Barr and maybe Armstrong Williams, whoever else is involved in this, these dirty prosecutors, this January 6th committee, because you ruin people's lives. You ruin my life. I don't have a career anymore because I supported the wrong presidential candidate and his friend with the wrong person that you guys don't seem to like. But that's not America. So I'm saying if he's involved, he needs to be investigated immediately, because that was the cause of many people, some that are no longer here today. They prosecuted people and they killed themselves because of this stuff.
I think there were at least three J6 defendants that committed suicide.
There were some that did not even step foot in the grounds there. And this guy, we know Bill Barr, he was involved with the Bushes for many years. So he's definitely someone who's entrenched and we'll say in the operation there in D.C. You know, he's been a swamp creature a long time. And I remember when Roger was being prosecuted, remember what he said? Oh, the 7 to 9 years, I don't agree with this. If you remember, you go back, Bill Barr had a lot to say about Roger in particular. So now it's funny how he's targeting Roger, yet there was never any evidence of any wrongdoing on his part or anyone that he was with. The security guys, they went in the building. That's a trespass, whatever they did, but we met those guys the day before. We don't know who the hell they are. They're just random guys doing security. But the rest of the apparatus that was with us, we stayed in a hotel. We're just regular people. We don't know what's going on. And if he's the guy behind this, Owen, I think even Alex needs to call for this guy to get investigated, because this guy's ruined a lot of lives with his BS.
Well, I think the obvious thing that needs to happen, and this is just the path of least resistance, let's say, we need to have a congressional hearing. And I would tie it all in to the fact that the January 6th committee erased all the evidence illegally before handing it over to the Republican leadership. So I would just kind of put it under that umbrella now, and I'd call that young girl, I forget her name, the Brazilian girl, I'd call her to testify. I'd call Barr to testify. If they want to call Armstrong to testify, I don't really know if that's a relevant testimony or not. But I would say it needs to fall under that umbrella. These congressional testimonies need to happen sooner than later. But this is a big deal. We're talking about entrapment at the highest levels involving multiple different departments and agencies.
Yeah. And I know people may not like us per se, but this could be you. So I hope people do care about this.
What are you talking about? Everybody likes us. Come on now. We're the most likable guys in media, Sal. Give yourself more credit.
Yeah.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. And it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Give me liberty or give me death. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
We've got some pretty crazy scenes happening at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Shooter on the loose. At least one cop got shot. This is all breaking right now. There's some videos coming out. It sounds like a damn war zone. It's really sad. It's really sad. I have to cover these videos more and more often here. This is why campus carry is important. I don't know why college campuses are a hotbed for this, but there's been a lot of shootings at college campuses. I mean, what are you going to do? You got a crazed shooter on your campus. Where was the one, like a year or so ago? And there were the images of the people literally like bleeding out and nobody would even render them aid. What are you going to do? Run and hide. Run and hide. Good luck. No, it's time for campus carry to be nationwide. It's time for campus carry to be considered part of your Second Amendment right, which inherently it should be. Again, folks, I don't want to live in the Wild West. Okay. I don't want to live in the Wild West where everybody feels like they have to have a gun at their hip. But you know what? This is a country based off of self-government. There's a reason why you have a Second Amendment. And you know what's going to deter a school shooter? Or a campus shooter, the fastest, it's a good guy with a gun that's already there, that knows how to use a weapon. Because it's going to take the cops some time. And a good guy with a gun can neutralize a campus shooter. A good guy with a gun that's trained and knows how to use it can neutralize a campus shooter faster than police or school security can. So again, this isn't the world I want to live in where you feel like you have to carry a gun around. But if that's the world I live in, then that's the world I live in. And they try to pass all these laws banning college students from carrying a gun. It's just ridiculous. And then what do you know? Oh, college campus has become a hotbed of school shootings. So it's, I wonder why. You banned guns. Go figure. So pretty crazy stuff going on there. All right. We are in the final hour of the show here. I still got a bunch of news to cover. I don't even know if we've taken a phone call this week, so I'm kind of, I don't know if what we'll do here, but so many news and video clips to get to. I feel like I need to do that. Before we do that, I need to plug. We have it back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric with Ginger Root and Black Pepper Gummies. The Ultimate Turmeric Gummies are back. These things are so popular. They taste so great. They're constantly selling out. But we do finally have them back in stock. You can get it up to 50% off when you subscribe. And by the way, when it runs out for everybody else at the store, it'll always be reserved for the subscribers. So when you subscribe, you get a discount, but we also make sure we hold enough product back for the subscribers so that it never sells out for you. Packed with a potent combination of turmeric extract, ginger root, and black pepper, this supplement, the Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, is designed to support healthy joints, promote inflammation balance, and boost antioxidant defenses like nothing else on the market. The benefits of turmeric extract, which we have the best, highest quality of, anti-inflammatory, helps reduce inflammation in the body, beneficial for joint health and chronic pain conditions. Antioxidant neutralizes free radicals and boosts the body's own antioxidant enzymes, supports brain health, may enhance cognitive function, and reduce the risk of neurodegenerative diseases. The benefits of ginger root extract, anti-inflammatory as well, helps alleviate muscle pain, joint pain, and stiffness, boosts immunity, contains antimicrobial compounds that help fight infections, supports cardiovascular health, improves blood flow circulation, and may reduce cholesterol levels, antioxidant properties,
protects cells from oxidative damage. So it's back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Get it before it sells out, or become a subscriber, get a discount, and make sure that you have it in stock. I think I need some, actually. I don't like to do long-distance running. I'm not a fan of it. I decided to run this morning for whatever reason. And, the joints are a little stiff. A little stiff in studio today. I think I need some of these turmeric gummies. Can I find any? Am I going to have to go back there and shake the crew down?
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
On the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Guys, have we put that Epstein photo up yet today? I can't remember when we covered that in the first hour. Did we actually put that photo up? I see everybody embracing this. I think it's AI. I'm sorry. I think it's AI. This just looks fake to me. Right? I mean, come on. Does that look real, guys? That looks like somebody prompted an AI and said, give me a photo of Epstein on a private jet wearing an IDF sweatshirt. That's what it looks like to me. The whole thing looks weird. And I see people running with it because the Telegraph posted it and confirmed it. People post fake news all the time. And so I'm just kind of doing a deeper analysis now because people keep sending it to me. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, everybody wants the proof that they figured it out. Like, yeah, there's no proof Epstein worked with intelligence agencies. Like, I need this photo. If anything, this is the photo to make you look dumb. If anything, this is the photo to say, oh, see, it was all fake. It's AI. So I'd be careful with that one. In fact, can't you like plug this stuff into a deal and it can tell you whether it's AI or not? Maybe we should do that, guys. Maybe we should plug that into a AI pattern recognition and see if it can determine it or not. Cause I, my first gut reaction was that's the fakest thing I've ever seen. And then it was like, oh no, it's confirmed by the Telegraph. Oh, so what? I've seen stuff confirmed by these big name internet publishing news sites. Confirmed about me or Alex Jones, and I'm like, yeah, I know that's completely fake. They're like, oh, it's confirmed. I'm like, well, let me confirm to you it's fake. And so it's like they put fake stuff out there intentionally. Like the whole story, like you have all these hit pieces on Alex Jones, and yeah, I mean, some stuff they put out there might be true, but then they'll put something out there like he made somebody eat a goldfish. Like what? I don't even think I've ever seen a fish here. Has there ever been a fish here, guys? I've been here 10 years. I don't think I've ever seen a fish. Besides, if you know Alex Jones, if Alex Jones was going to eat somebody's goldfish, he would damn make sure somebody filmed it. Okay? So, But that's what I'm saying. Confirmed. Alex Jones ate his employee's goldfish or whatever it is. It's out of Wolf of Wall Street. It's like, oh my gosh, it's confirmed. They published it. I think that one was Daily Mail. So hey, just because some news site, some big news site confirms something doesn't make it real. I'm saying that's fake. I'm saying that's fake. It's meant to throw you off. It's meant to throw off the entire Epstein thing. I think it's fake. Like, why would they even do all the internet sleuths that have been crazy over Epstein? They never found it. The whole thing is, folks, the whole thing has turned into an intelligence operation, in case you haven't noticed. The drip, drip, drip of the Trump Epstein files, that's a foreign intelligence agency. I guess it could be our intelligence agencies, but that would be a little too close to the chest, I think. No, that's a foreign intelligence agency with a Trump Epstein file that's slowly dripping this stuff out to make Trump look bad and make him the Epstein guy. And I think Trump is handling the whole thing bad, a disaster even. But no, now the whole Epstein thing has turned into an intelligence operation where you just want to make it all about Trump. And now the real issue, which was Epstein as an intelligence asset, specifically for Mossad, which is what they want to cover up. It's like, oh, they'll present you the evidence. Oh yeah, Epstein MI6. Oh yeah, Epstein FBI. Oh yeah, Epstein CIA. But then, oh, Epstein Mossad, Epstein Israel. No, 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 no. So I wouldn't be surprised if they come out and then they say, that was fake. See, this is another anti-Semitic attack. This is another anti-Israel Jew hate attack. You fell for a fake photo. That's what I think is going on. The whole Epstein thing is now just turned into a total charade. A total charade. And the Trump PR team is making it even worse. So they're trying to throw you off the scent. I know it sounds counterintuitive, folks. My guess is this is to throw you off the scent. Put out a fake photo appearing to tie Epstein to Israeli intelligence, so that when it comes out that it was fake, it'll be, see, the whole thing was fake. He never had anything to do with Israel. Oh, right. And neither did Ghislaine Maxwell. Uh-huh. And American pedophiles don't go hide out in Israel because they get rights to do that there. Oh, yeah, that's right. You didn't hear that? Mainstream news. Yeah. American pedophiles go hide in Israel and avoid charges. Yeah. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. So that's what I see going on. I do have some other geopolitical news here. Russia tells Trump he'll halt war in exchange for eastern Ukraine. So these are the territories that Russia already occupies, and they've already voted to be Russian anyway. Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, Kherson, and Crimea. Now, what's interesting about this map is it could really influence the mineral deal that Trump made with Ukraine. And I think this is where Putin is kind of putting his foot in the door here. I think originally with the first deal that Trump was trying to get done, that whoever runs Zelensky sabotaged, that's the deep state. Originally, Trump wanted the buffer of the United States in the Kherson area, and Putin would have said, okay, well, we're going to have this territory, but you can kind of fill this void. And really what they want is Crimea the most, and that is maybe the best land there. But okay, Russia would have said, you can have access to these resources. Russia, the biggest country on earth, doesn't really have a shortage of it. So they're saying, you can come in and fill that void, and you can get your money back via these resources, but this is still going to be our land. That way NATO doesn't move in and the U.S. can kind of fill that void. But now, if Russia's going to claim that this is their territory and this is the only way they'll get peace, now the whole mineral deal kind of goes back into negotiating phase. But obviously, anything that Zelensky wants here or anything Zelensky tries to negotiate, Putin is basically going to spike at this point. I think Russia is past it now. The first waves of the negotiations where they would have cooperated with Zelensky and they would have tried to find a deal, I think Russia's done with that. They want nothing to do with Zelensky. and anything Zelensky would promise the United States in these negotiations, Russia will spike. But apparently, they're trying to get this done next week. They're trying to have this done by the end of the next week as far as Trump and Putin actually sitting down together and discussing this. So we shall see. We'll see if Trump can work out a deal here. That would certainly be big. It's an even thinner window to try to squeeze this deal into than it was 6 months ago. But perhaps there is still an opportunity. But see, it gets back to the same issue here where the American people are just sick of it. They don't want to hear about Ukraine. And I was listening to Colonel McGregor on this because the only hiccup is, well, how do we get our $300 billion back or $400 billion, whatever the final number ends up being? It's like, how do we get that back? And it's kind of like, well, who even cares? And I do care, actually. I would like to get the money back. But I understand kind of Colonel McGregor's take, and I'm not trying to take him out of context, but it's like, yeah, they just print money anyway. They just hand out money left and right like it doesn't matter. They just increase the budget. So it's just like, do we really want to hold up another negotiation? Do we really want to sit here perched in another foreign conflict over $300 billion that the U.S. government hands out like candy anyway? Over a pride issue, over a stubborn issue. So it's like, yeah, I'd like to get a deal done where we get our money back, but I also understand the logic of, is it even worth it? Is it just cut your losses and get the hell out of there, man? What a disaster. They're not going to blame Trump for that until now because he's sending them more stuff. So we'll see what happens with that. Let's hit the rest of these headlines. Israeli settlers attack Gaza humanitarian aid trucks. Folks, you should see the footage. I can't show you all of it because a lot of it is, I mean, you're talking about dead people. But I mean, you're looking at these aid drops. And that's why you have Mike Huckabee here. Let's play the Huckabee clip. Let me try to find the Huckabee clip. There's so many damn clips on here. This is Huckabee explaining to Fox News, it's like, well, why? Because they can't deny that they're getting shot. They tried to deny it. Now the footage is everywhere, folks. The footage of them shooting them is everywhere. So they can't deny it. So here's their new excuse for why the Palestinian people in Gaza are getting shot. Here it is in clip 31.
These reports that people are getting shot, and that when Bill Hemmer was there, and I know you were just there recently with Steve Witkoff, he said he could hear gunfire, and he asked the IDF about it. Are civilians, Palestinian civilians, being shot at these humanitarian sites where food is being distributed by the IDF?
No, they are not being shot. They're all kinds of stories that they're just being massacred. The only time that has happened is when a large group overruns.
No. Pause this real quick and rewind it. You know, I've been hesitant on this because I want to be a little more measured and I don't want to wrongly attack good people. And I believe Huckabee is a good person. I have no reason to think he's a bad person. He's had a good reputation for a long time. But you know what kind of had me jilted a little bit, and I'm sorry to do this. I can't help it. I call it as I see it. And we know what goes on with these relations. How do I say this? I saw a picture with Bibi and Huckabee and Johnson and some others. You know, it's like once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's like, have you seen Chuck Schumer's wife? You know what I mean? It's like, have you seen Emmanuel Macron's wife? And I saw this image and all of them looked like, you know, they had, quote unquote, wives. Mm-hmm. Catch my drift?
And it just, I saw it and it just stuck in my head. I'm like, what is going on here? It's like when you see that video and you go back and you look at a lot of these first ladies and you're like, that ain't a lady. So, makes you wonder when you know how these blackmail operations work, specifically over total support for Israel. Which, but again, I mean, to Huckabee's credit, he's been critical and he's said some things that don't go fully along with the narrative. But okay, getting back to the clip, I'm sorry to get distracted. It's just, I had to show you that. Yeah, you know, there's another example. It's like, what is that, man? You know, what's going on here? But aside from that, I guess that's me conspiracy theorizing. So, but Huckabee says, oh, nobody's getting shot, but actually, yes, they are getting shot, but it's their fault. So did you see this? And I'd like, I have no reason to not think that Mike Huckabee is a good person. I have no reason to think that he's a liar. But this is what the Israel issue does to you. And that's what's so frustrating. I'm watching this happen to Trump. I'm watching this happen to the Trump administration. I'm watching this happen to a lot of media people that I like and that I trust. And they're going down with the Israel issue. And it's just like, from a pragmatic standpoint, like, don't you see you're destroying yourself here? Oh, nobody's getting shot, but yeah, they are getting shot. It's like, what are you doing? So he knows he can't deny it. Huckabee knows he cannot deny that they're shooting people at the aid trucks because there's videos everywhere of it happening. I'm not going to show you people with their heads blown off. I'm not going to show you people bleeding out at these aid truck sites, okay? The videos are everywhere. If you want to find them, you can find them. They're trying to censor them off the internet for obvious reasons. It's why the IDF is arresting any journalists that film there. It's why they're banning journalists from getting in there. But, you know, there's so many volunteers and aid workers. Every once in a while, one of them gets a camera. So he's like, oh, nobody's getting shot. But, yeah, if they are getting shot, it's their own fault. So it's like even he knows, like, hey, I'm supposed to lie and say they're not shooting anybody, but it's such a blatant lie that I'm kind of going to hedge my bet here and say, but if you are getting shot, it's your fault. What are we doing, man? What are we doing? All right. For the sake of time, I won't play it again, but you just heard it. Are people getting shot at the aid sites? No, nobody's getting shot. But the people that are getting shot, it's their fault. You just said nobody was getting shot. So they say, oh, it's the Palestinians' fault. It's Hamas's fault. It's the IDF's fault. Well, how about from a neutral pro-America perspective, I don't care whose fault it is. I want nothing to do with it. People in Arkansas, not so happy they're hearing this. Arkansas taxpayers loan Israel millions of dollars. Oh, did you hear about this? Oh, wait, who's the governor of Arkansas? Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Again, somebody I like. But this is what they're dealing with. In Arkansas, clip 25.
I live in rural Arkansas. And if you don't understand why people in rural Arkansas or rural America vote Republican, it's because of fear. And jealousy. Jealousy that somebody has it better than they do. That they work their asses off, and most of them do. The education here is at the bottom of the tier. Maternal mortality, low. Education, low. Quality of living, low. Infrastructure, super low. There's no industry. There's no hope for these young kids in rural Arkansas to have a job. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is treating this like her personal money bank. There is no infrastructure here. The roads are So my closest grocery store, besides Walmart, is 2 hours away. So if I go that 2 hours to go to that grocery store, the roads I have to take are barely have enough room for two people to pass each other. There is no cell phone coverage for over an hour and a half of that ride. And there's no hope to get those roads fixed anytime soon because there's no money. I say that, but lo and behold, what did Sarah do as of July of 2025? She has loaned and bought $55 million worth of Israeli bonds. So she's loaned Israel $55 million with a catch to give them 100 more million by the end of the year. When her people are starving, they have no medical care. Teenage girls here are living at home pregnant with their moms. And they're living at home with their moms and their boyfriends. because that's how rural America lives. There's nothing for these kids to look forward to. So why would they ever, ever vote Republican? Because that's what they're told to do. $150 million would go a long way to feed, get medical attention, and up our so that our children here in Arkansas don't die in infancy and the mothers don't die in childbirth. And that is rural America. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She is the worst governor at, well, eh, okay, she's second. Our neighbor Texas Abbott is worse, but she's a close second.
I mean, folks, this is outrageous. It's outrageous. And again, I'm watching good people that have strong approval ratings on the right, like a Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like a Mike Huckabee. These are generally liked people on the right, good approval ratings on the right, and they're flushing their entire reputation down the drain for Israel. And I just don't get it. I really don't get it. What am I left to assume? They're bought and paid for and corrupt, blackmailed, or what? They're a foreign agent? Are you not an American? You know, and I've said this before. It's not that I promote it. I just live in reality. If you're an American Jew and you've been taught about Israel being the Holy Land, your people's Holy Land, God's chosen people, God's holy land for your people, and you've been going to Israel, maybe you've lived there. I understand there is a dual loyalty there. I don't like it. I take issue with it, but at least I can understand it. I can say, okay, yeah, you're a Jew. This is your faith. Maybe you've lived there. Maybe you've got family there. You've been taught about this land. It's your holy land. Like I can understand a dual loyalty there. Whether I like it or not, I can at least comprehend why that exists. You're an American-born Christian? Why the fuck do you have a loyalty to Israel? You're either blackmailed or you're sold out. There is no other excuse to me. Well, because don't you know it's a Christian holy site? Okay, well, if you really believe that, then why don't Christians run it? If you really believe that Israel is a Christian holy site, then why aren't you promoting Christians to go run Israel? Why aren't you promoting America to go take over Israel, put the American flag up there, and put Christians in charge, if you really believe that? So what is it? What am I left to assume? So I'm saying, I like Mike Huckabee. I like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Why are you destroying your reputation over Israel? Why are you destroying a good reputation you've built up on the right wing over a foreign country? And it's so obvious now. I guess maybe the least assumptive thing I could land on here is that they really just have fallen totally for the Israeli propaganda, which it has worked very well on older generations. Let's be honest. It's why there is such a generational gap on support of Israel. It's why the younger people under 40 are done with it. Under 30, I mean, under 30, 100% done. Like, under 30-year Americans, 100% done with Israel. Under 40, it's like 90% done. But over 50, it's like, no, most people over 50 still believe that they're supposed to support Israel. It's like that's somehow part of their political makeup is the propaganda that they've been fed their whole lives. And they'll see it eventually if they haven't yet. So that would be the easiest, least painful explanation of why good Christians, good conservatives would flush their entire reputation down the drain over Israel. That would be the best explanation, but it doesn't seem like that's the case based off of everything else that we're learning here. So hey, congratulations, Arkansas. You can't even get basic infrastructure because your governor just gave $50 million to a foreign country. Way to go.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, fog lifting, to just over the top crying. It feels so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So skirt, go ahead and take a half rubber or so, that's about a half dose, and then go ahead and shove that down, and then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people initially about 30 minutes, start speaking after a couple hours, but just tell people what you think, and if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely, I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago. And I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened to it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at theoxygenstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it, I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because it happened, the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a 5 hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. So I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better. And Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling it as a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The antidote to the establishment's lies. Welcome to the war room. Here's Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're not going to have time for calls. I just got too much news I want to get off the desk. Still like 20 video clips. There's no way we can do it all in this final 25 minutes. But we'll do our best. By the way, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton moves to declare every runaway Democrat seat vacant. Well, I told you if anybody was going to have the motive to actually make a move against them, it would be Paxton. To win some political points ahead of a Senate race, but we'll see what happens. Apparently the Democrats are now running around California with Gavin Newsom. So it's hard to keep up. And there's Jasmine Crockett. She's one of them. Trump critic Representative Jasmine Crockett is a no-show boss from hell who terrorizes staffers, aides say. All diva, no wow. Isn't that what the Kamala Harris aides were saying, too? Remember how she couldn't even hold down a staff
as the vice president because she was so insufferable. Sounds like Crockett might be a similar type character, to the surprise of nobody. Man, there's so much crazy stuff here. Maybe I just cover these headlines and then go down the video list. I got so many crazy things on the video list, though. Now, this is funny, or maybe not. Trump Burger, you know, have you heard of Trump Burger? There's a place called Trump Burger in Houston. Trump Burger owner faces deportation after ICE arrests in Houston. That's right. Facing deportation, apparently a non-immigrant visitor visa, but it expired. Trump-themed burger joint owner detained by ICE might be deported regardless of political beliefs. But wait a second. Could it actually be because of political beliefs? You know, the Lebanese people aren't too big a fans of Israel. And we know that, you know, if you're not a violent criminal, the one thing that can get you deported is being a critic of Israel. So I wonder if he maybe said something that he wasn't supposed to say about our friends over there in the Middle East, and so now he's on ICE's radar, and, yeah, we know you support Trump, but that's not enough. You have to be totally loyal to Israel, too. Of course, I'm conspiracy theorizing, guys, so let's just calm down. And then you have these Democrats like Senator Annalise Ortez, who says she will be alerting Arizona citizens, or I guess non-citizens, really, she will be alerting them whenever she knows when ICE is town and where ICE is and to keep you safe from being deported. So that's good. Aiding and abetting in crime. Another Democrat there. Very good. Should we do a little AI here? We got time. Check this out. This is a graph of OpenAI's activities. Okay? Now, if you notice here, there's a steep decline. There's a pretty consistent here, and then it goes up here, and then it goes straight down. Now, okay, I'll kind of use the crew as a sounding board here. Do you guys know what this represents? Anybody want to take a guess? Let's put the graph back on screen. And if any of the crew wants to take a guess, I'll give you another couple seconds. Does anybody want to take a guess at what has happened here? Just look at the dates. Take a look at the dates. Think for a second. Nope, nobody. All right, well, once I say it, you guys... Well, no. Once I say it, you guys are going to be like, holy crap, it's so obvious. Folks, these are school students using AI. So, okay, they use AI, okay, normal levels. Then they have their final exams, goes to the highest levels of all time, and then school is out, and it virtually goes down to nothing. School students are the biggest users of AI to do their work for them. Now, look, I've been a savvy high school student before that got straight A's. I was never really the smartest kid in high school, but I got straight A's because I learned what I can do to get straight A's. Now, I was never a cheater. I think I got caught one time sharing exam answers with another student. I got detention for that. But the high school I went to is a former military academy. They still kept a lot of the rules. You get caught twice, you're expelled. So you get caught once, you get a week detention. So I got caught once sharing answers on an exam. But that was it. I wasn't a big cheater, but I knew, you know, I knew how to get by and do what I needed to do. And a lot of that had to do with some of the stuff that was digital, really. Like, I wasn't good at math, but the stuff that we had on the math program that was digital, I basically knew how to kind of rig that game. It's like you could plug in, I forget what it was, like you could plug in the wrong answer three times, and it would eventually just kick you the right answer, and it wouldn't know the difference. And in the final equation, it would just say you got it right. So it's like, I understand high school students doing whatever they need to do to get an A. So I'm not judging them for that. In fact, it's kind of showing that they're resourceful. But aside from that, it's like these students are becoming so reliant on AI. Where do you go from there? Where do you go? It's not like they're having to seek out where to actually get information. They're just not even doing the work. So that's, like, for me, it was more of a timing thing. It was like, okay, I figured out how I could do the least amount of homework at home and either do it in between classes or before class or, like, at lunch or something. And then with other things, like a digital math thing, I could figure out how to basically get an A even if I got all the answers wrong. It was like kind of being a way, like, you still would get the information you needed, but you maybe a resourceful way of having the least interference, let's say, in your outside of school life. This is just, they're not even doing the work. So that's what that represents. By the way, since you guys put that up, you know, I'm noticing this with the right wing, and I guess it's not the first time. Right wingers have, you know, conservatives have complained about South Park before. But, like, you go into the comments in these viral South Park clips, it's a bunch of conservatives whining and bitching. It's just, it's pathetic. So, like, have you guys seen this? If you're on X, you've seen it. You've got all the sorority videos now, and this happens every year. This is like a white girl. This is like mating rituals for white people, I would say. This is like your white people's mating ritual here. But you have the sorority girls, you know, they dress up all skimpy and they do their little, you know, stripper dances or whatever it is. It's nothing new. They've been doing it for years. Everybody's seen it. It's just now you have the internet, so this stuff goes viral. But you know what's funny? I keep seeing, you know, this is why it's so strange with the whole conservative thing. And I kind of talked about this yesterday, where it's like we kind of pick and choose what we're going to celebrate as conservatives or what we're going to, like, pretend to be conservatives over. Let's be perfectly clear. I mean, okay. Do I like the videos? Whatever. Hot girls dancing. I'm not going to complain. But there's nothing conservative about this. Let's be perfectly clear. Girls humping and gyrating in essentially bra and panties is not conservative. All right? So it's funny. I'll see people, like, lunge at women for not being conservative enough on a certain issue or socially. It's like, oh, you're not a real conservative. And then they'll all celebrate these videos of girls, pardon me, acting like sluts. So again, I'm not complaining. I'm not the social police here, okay? Shut up, guys. I'm not the social police here. I'm really not. I don't claim to be some conservative social police or some, like, role model for conservatives. Not claiming that, okay? I've had plenty of fun in my life. My life nowadays is pretty low key. But I see all the conservative social police. It's like, oh, this girl's not conservative enough for this reason. And it's like, well, how conservative is Trump socially? And then I see them all share, look at this. This is great. America's back. Oh, conservatism is back. This is right wing winning. I'm like, what are you talking about? These girls are in bra and panties, jumping up and down, humping the air. What's conservative about that? There's nothing Christian conservative about that. So it's this weird thing going on in right-wing culture now. But the other thing that I find strange about it is, if you see this stuff, what are you seeing? You're seeing right-wingers post it. And they're saying liberals are pissed about this. And I'm sitting here saying, where? Where are liberals pissed about this? I'm not seeing any liberals complain about it. Like, oh, they're owning the libs. Libs are pissed. And I'm literally like, I haven't seen a single liberal complaint. All I've seen is the conservative culture celebrating girls not acting conservatively at all. If anything, this is extremely liberal. Dressing up in scantily clad clothes and humping and gyrating. That's not conservative. Again, I'm not the social police. If I was a younger man, I'd be going to these sororities and having a great time. But it's like, oh, the liberals, this video triggered the liberals. Oh, the liberals are pit. Where? What are you talking about? Show me. I'm not seeing it anywhere. And there's nothing conservative about it, by the way. But they're wearing jeans for Sydney Sweeney. I like Sydney Sweeney. She seems fun. She votes Republican. She has her tits out all the time. I mean, what are we doing here? But look, they're waving American flag. Great, they're in America. They're half naked. Like, what are we? It's
conservative culture is just getting really weird. Right-wing conservative culture is just getting really strange. I'm not the social police, so I really don't care. And I'm not even trying to act like I have some higher standard. Okay? I'm just observing and reporting here. Liberals are pissed at these sorority videos. Where? What are you talking about? I bet you liberals probably run these sororities. Like, what are we talking about here? Oh, yeah, they're pissed at my thirst trap this morning. I told them not to call me skinny. So it's very strange. Liberals are pissed. No, they're not. I don't see them pissed anywhere. However, I see you promoting degenerative activity for college girls, though. I see you promoting 18-year-old girls acting promiscuous, which sounds pretty liberal. But okay, conservatives, ooh, and then they go complain about South Park. Oh, it's weird, man. Hey, as long as everyone's having fun, all right? As long as everyone is having fun. Yeah, guys, I'm sure the college liberal boys are really triggered over this. Like, oh my gosh, did you see the sorority girls gyrating around in their bras? Like, whoa, I'm triggered as a liberal. Okay. No, that's conservatism now. Conservatism is, you know, trannies as long as they vote Trump. So, yeah. This is now considered conservative. Liberals are pissed. I don't see any liberals complaining. Now, I have seen a little bit of that with the Sydney Sweeney deal, but that's just more because she's white and they're just racists. Like, did you see this girl? This is so, I've never seen anything like this. This woman has to weigh 400 pounds and she's flicking off a Sydney Sweeney billboard. And if we have this, I don't know if you can see it in this printout. I don't even know how you get this fat. I'm going to be honest. I don't know it. I'm curious. I think it's harder to get that fat than it would to be to get skinny. Cause to get skinny, you just stop eating. Like, how much did you have to eat? How much did you have to eat to get that fat? This woman is so fat. I'm not even kidding you. If you can find the image, maybe you can see it in this, but if you can find it on the screen here, this woman is so fat, she literally has a tit on her hip. I've never seen that before. You see that? You ever seen anything like that? She's, oh, I'm flipping off Sydney Sweeney. Woohoo! she has a tit on her hip. What is that? How do you even do that? Did a donut get lodged in your hamstring? Were you unable to properly consume and digest a donut and it just got somehow lodged in your hip? What the hell is going on? Okay, we're having fun. Anyway, back to the AI thing. We're trying to be serious. Teacher accused of creating AI-generated child content. I don't even want to say it. I can't even put the two words together. It's so disgusting. But you can get what I'm saying. It's the worst of the worst. Of his own students, put this guy under the jail. Yeah, that's an interesting thing that we've really never had to deal with before. But AI, and the Trump administration has actually addressed this. They signed a bill about AI-generated sexual content, which now with the whole new, I don't know if you've been seeing this new, Grok just came out with the Imagine app where you can turn a photo into a moving picture. Google just updated, I think it's called VO. I think it's called VO3 now, where you just plug in a picture and they can basically turn it into a motion picture. And you had a teacher doing that with photos of his students. Yikes. I mean, how do you handle this? So they've already signed some laws, some executive orders inside the administration to try to tamper this. But this is new. This is new territory. I don't even know, man, because it's like, what are you going to do? It's not like the technology's going anywhere.
Do you, so it's like, but you also have to consider privacy rights. But at the same time, obviously generating pornographic material over, an unwitting individual using their likeness and images, that's a crime. So this is a new stuff, but this is just beyond perverted. And so this is now a new problem we're going to have to settle with. But let's do this. How about this one? Students using AI. Yeah. How about this young girl? She gets creative with AI. She's able to get out of class. Then she gets caught, and she's able to get out of that all with AI. Listen to this story in clip 11.
I had dinner with a friend last night, and she said that her friend's daughter, who's 13 years old, fed her mom's voice to an AI generator, and she would make messages so that she could call herself out of school. Like, hey, it's Mrs. So-and-so. Hallie can't come into school today because she's not feeling well. And then she would just go hang out with her friends, and all of her friends were doing this. And so she was out for 3 days straight, and then her mom got a call from the school being like, hey, is your daughter okay? You've been calling her out of class. Like, we just want to make sure she's okay. Her daughter then used her mom's voice on her own dad so that she could have a sleepover. Like, this is just the beginning. Feeding your parents' voice to AI to then use their voice to get you out of things, like, it's cooked. Why do they have to go to school? Why do they have to really do anything, have any chores, responsibility? Like, this is wild. This is so wild. I can't even imagine being a parent right now.
Yeah, or a teacher having to deal with this stuff. All right, I've got another AI video I want to play here. Trump has just made this announcement, though, so let's just break in here. The highly anticipated meeting between myself and President Vladimir Putin will take place next Friday, August 15th, 2025, in the great state of Alaska. Further details to follow. All right, so there they go. They have established a meeting date, and it will take place in Alaska next Friday, President Trump and Vladimir Putin. All right, now let's go to Eric Weinstein, a brilliant mind. And he realizes that sometimes, when you have a mind like that, it's hard to communicate with complex issues and ideas. So this is only a 90-second clip. It's going to be a little hard to interpret out of the gates, and then he kind of rephrases it at the end here. But just one of these issues, there's many such directions as it go. One of these issues, what are some things that we need to be considering for the future and how AI is going to be used, but what it's going to do to humanity? So listen to this one brought up by Eric Weinstein in clip 9.
AI is about, within the next year or so, going to be capable of producing compelling video evidence that will not be detectable. That is going to create, first, a radical increase in the rate of proliferation of cognitive universes that we are forced to keep alive. And I suspect that the immediate consequence of that is going to be paralysis, that the number of different combinations of possibilities where you cannot resolve, you cannot get closure and say, I think I live in this world, and so I'm going to ignore all of those possibilities over there and go forward as if this is true. You're basically going to become agnostic about just about everything. And so in this mental multiverse, you will maybe be able to avoid embarrassment by not putting your weight on any of the ice, but you can't accomplish anything in that state. And that's what I'm concerned about, that we are going to be collectively put into a circumstance where everybody will be afraid to assume enough about the world to actually be capable of acting rationally towards it. Mm. And that's a very frightening prospect.
Yeah, it is.
Just imagine as kind of an example here that image of Epstein on a jet wearing an IDF sweatshirt that I believe is AI, but they publish it and they say it's real. Well, that's what he's talking about. It's like you're eventually going to get to this point where you're not sure what's real and what's not. So as he uses the analogy, you're just not going to step on the ice, because you don't know if it's if it's thick enough to hold you. You don't know if this is real or not, so I'm just going to not even comment on it, look at it, consume it. I don't know what's real or what's not. And that's just like one angle of this potential. By the way, you know, you'll see photos, Jean-Luc Brunel, he has an IDF hat on and other stuff too. But that one is definitely real. That was from stories before AI was out. But think about what this does to evidence in a criminal trial. Somebody can set you up with AI. And I mean, how do we deal with that? So beyond the lines of in 2 or 3 years, not even being able to tell what's AI or what's not. And then you'll have not only it's like, okay, well, will you have programs that can recognize if something is AI or not? Will there be like expert human analysis that'll determine? Because I've noticed like some people can not determine what's real and what's not already. Some people already struggle, like they can't tell if it's AI or not. It's like they'll see it's something to me that'll be clearly AI and they'll see it and they'll think it's real. I'll be like, no, that's fake. But imagine somebody makes something up with AI. I mean, beyond even what we're thinking right now, you're probably thinking a fake image, a fake video, a fake soundbite. Folks, they could create fake documents. They could create a fake GPS locator data, putting you at the spot of a crime that you were never at. And we're just racing into this stuff. Nobody's really talking about it, trying to put it down with all this potential danger. It's pretty crazy. And we're just diving right in, just not even considering all the negative impacts and implications it could have in the very near future, by the way, in the very near future. All right, a couple of other things before we sign off. By the way, Trump is trying to have a new census that makes sense. And let's hope he gets that done. That's going to be very important. That's going to be very important, not just the redistricting that Republicans are trying to do, but also a new census that doesn't rig the elections with all the non-citizens that are here. All right, a couple of other things, non-political things out the door, but maybe ends up being political. ESPN and the NFL have announced a deal. ESPN now has 10% equity in the league. ESPN that runs with gambling websites has a 10% equity in the league. They've also attained control creatively over the NFL red zone. You thought the NFL was rigged now? Wait till this happens. And what about the WNBA? Now the biggest bets in the WNBA, what color sex toy are going to be thrown onto the court tonight? White right now going off at plus 700. Over 7, you're getting your money.
Alex Jones has good genes. In fact, there's only one thing better than Alex's genes. Alex's jeans on Methylene Blue. Just look at those pecs. That charm. The focus. Get your Methylene Blue now at thealexjonesstore.com and make good jeans great again.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it, how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
For a limited time, you can get this limited edition Murdered Out InfoWars shirt at thealexjonesstore.com with the American flag on the shoulder. It's historic, and it funds the operation. We've got other cool shirts that just came in as well. The new Liberty Bell 1776 Declaration of Independence shirt is out. It's limited edition, and it's got my signature on the back. That really triggers libtards. And then there's this limited edition. I weaponized the American people. It was actually you weaponized them, and we're winning. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support.